I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling.
610, hi, it's Friday, and live from Chicago, this is the Steve Cochran Show, number 1357, April 19th at Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook and Instagram. We'll get to the top six and six in just a second. We're going to spend a good chunk of time this morning talking about Chet Kopic. Chet was killed in a car accident at the age of 70 years old. I remember when 70 sounded so old. Yeah. You know what 70 sounds like now? You're just getting started.
Yeah.
Very sad news to report. Came up late in the show yesterday that Chet was killed in a car accident, a head-on in Georgia, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Car apparently driven by, was it his fiance? Did we identify that?
No, his fiance.
It was a woman from Hammond, Indiana, I believe.
Okay. And we don't know the status of her condition overall or the people that they hit. But we do know that Chet is being fondly remembered and funnily remembered, there's a word, by folks all over town. And David Kaplan, who you all know, will join us this morning. Lou Kanellis, Ed Farmer will tell you a few stories. And John McDonough, who knew Chet as well as anybody and was very close to Chet. John McDonough, of course, from the Blackhawks. And Larry Wirt, the guy that runs his company. Larry Wirt, he was Chet's boss off and on. So, and I know Larry well enough to know that most of the stories he has about everybody, including me, he can't say on the air. But we'll see what he can say on the air when he joins us later on as well. MVPP, of course. Dean will be on. More on entertainment. Should we do a fact or fiction today, John DeCos?
Oh, I hope so. This is my favorite game show now.
You should say that. More on entertainment. People are getting a bonus. Dean is going to join us at 7:10 and 8:10.
That's exciting.
And one of the prizes today will not be a chocolate chip cookie from Mary Sandberg.
No, because you're keeping them?
They aren't leaving my bag.
I understand.
Unless they go in my mouth.
I was told by you to make cookies because Bridget Gaynor has not had my cookies, and so I made the cookies.
And then we bumped her.
We bumped her. I mean, it worked out well because she was going to Stations of the Cross anyway, but because we have so many Kopic guests, there wasn't going to be a lot of room for anything else, and so... Now you guys are getting all the cookies, and then I'll have to make cookies again for Bridget next week.
What's my role in that? Just eat them?
Yeah, that is your role.
Okay.
And you're able to eat from the bag labeled work.
Okay.
Because these are the work cookies. John DeCos, because he turned 60, he's got his own bag labeled DeCos.
That's what I'm talking about. Chocolate chip.
Is there any difference in the formula or
no.
the recipe?
The recipe is the same. So
you didn't do like a bit bag of cookies?
See, no. these are better. That's all I know.
The ones you have?
No, that's all I know.
All right, let's do the top six and six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
You heard Vic talk about this top of the hour. It's the most important story of the day, as far as I'm concerned. The FBI has been called in for the search of a 5-year-old boy who's missing in Crystal Lake. The boy, Andrew A.J., friend, is that it? Is it friend? Is that the pronunciation, Steve? I really don't know. F-R-E-U-N-D.
Discussion here. The police won't tell us what the pronunciation is.
He was last seen at bedtime about 9 o'clock on Wednesday in the family home in the first block of Dole Avenue in Crystal Lake. After waking up Thursday morning, being unable to find him in the home, Andrew's parents contacted police, reported the boy missing. And, you know, the great concern here is that we're past the first 24 hours window, which is so important when a child's missing. And you need prayers and you need help. So people at Crystal Lake are doing the heavy lifting and the searching. And all you can do is hope the little boy is either hiding somewhere or some good-willed person grabbed him and doesn't know how to get him back, or
grabbed him from his bedtime. But
grabbed him if he wandered out.
Yeah. The one thing I learned that I did not know, Steve Grzanich, is that they did not issue an Amber Alert because they don't send one if they can't confirm there's been an abduction. Which I never heard that before.
Yeah, I suppose I get that in some way, right? Because you have to be able to identify who you're looking for in some way.
Yeah, so I never knew that.
A little local thing. Christy Vicari, our good friend and photographer, it was her dear friend who fostered that child for the first 3 years.
Is that right?
Yeah, so she was out helping last night.
Do we know, is the child, does the child have any special issues in particular to prevent the child from knowing his address and have speech issues or any of that? Do we know any of that, Steve?
No, we do not.
Okay. Well, obviously the people at Crystal Lake are working hard to find this little boy. And if you know anything or think you know anything, don't hesitate to call. Next, the release of the special counsel's report yesterday morning and claims of validation from both the White House and everybody but the White House, but questions about Russia's efforts to influence American democracy and whether President Trump tried to obstruct justice are far from resolved. Look, I'm going to stick by what I said in the beginning. I stand by what Bob Mueller found. And what Bob Mueller found is there's nothing criminally chargeable here. Congress needs to take this up. Whether or not they do remains to be seen. Bill Barr, the Attorney General, is a hack. And he proved that yesterday. And he is Trump's lapdog. And he proved that yesterday. It's not a win for this country that the President of the United States and his family and his administration escape prosecution by the skin of their teeth. Everything in this report points to a White House out of control and at least near criminal activities by everybody. So anybody that's dancing around going, Trump won, that's not a win. It's not a win.
I read it's a bad day. I read a good portion of the thing yesterday. I'm almost 300 pages of it. It is a roadmap for Congress. So when we heard Bill Barr this week say that the report was written for him and that there was no real intuition about which way Mueller wanted this information to go, it's obvious now from reading the report it was written for Congress.
Yeah, and I don't know what kind of power trip Bill Barr is on, but the guy has turned out to be the worst nightmare he could possibly be in that job. Much more, maybe, but not today. A little bit more on this later. And Pat Brady's read every word of it, so I'm going to try to find room to call him and see if he's sober. Next. As I mentioned, we will spend a fair amount of time remembering Chet Kopic this morning amongst the guests that I mentioned. They have various stories of time and place with Chet. And I will say this, if anybody listening ran into Chet, brushes with Chet would be a good text question that we can throw in here and there. Because Chet was the kind of guy that loved attention. He admitted it his entire life. I used to say, love me or hate me, just make sure that you, what was it, love me or hate me? Oh, just react to me. That was it. Love me or hate me, just make sure you react to me. So 312-917-200 if you want to text in brushes with Chet Kopic. Next, James Holzhauser, the 34-year-old pro sports veteran Naperville native, is still on Jeopardy. This has to end at some point.
You would think.
I think Homeland Security needs to pull him off.
I watched him yesterday. I'm not sure this guy's ever going to lose.
No, he is super smart.
And he's won like $771,000 now.
Is there a record? Do you know? Or does anyone know the record?
On Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Oh, he blew it away.
No, I don't think he has yet. Who was that other guy?
Jennings?
I thought he beat Ken Jennings.
He had 2 million.
The single day.
Yeah, but Ken Jennings' totals were like 2 million or something.
Yesterday, he went into Final Jeopardy with a big lead, and he got the answer and added to his winnings. And I mean, you do feel bad for the other contestants. Matched the luck of the draw. They finally get on Jeopardy. They're matched up against this guy.
You could take him, Dave.
No. I really couldn't.
They had a thing on the news with him, and they interviewed his math teacher. And it was really cute, you know, how they, he was just,
Did
you know,
say he was a smart kid?
Yeah, but they said he was a little cocky because he didn't think he needed to study for the big competitions.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, so. Oh, he definitely comes across as cocky on
yes,
the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it his math teacher at Naperville North High School?
Yes.
By the way, Mr. Naperville North, get us
Do you know her?
Get us somebody from his his family next week. I want to talk to his dad or somebody about him.
Okay, I'll work on it.
Okay. Next, Chicago set a record for tourism in 2018, 57.7 million visitors, 2.4 million than the previous year. That's pretty impressive. And at a time where we get a lot of bad news about Illinois and Chicago, that's a good story. Now, if any of those folks would like to move here, plenty of room because people are leaving.
And I was wondering, you know, when you staycate to the city, when you and Maureen come downtown, does that count as a visit?
First off, I never staycay. I hate the word. Staycation is stupid. And no, I don't think it counts people who live here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't you think a lot of those people come here, stay at the Swiss Hotel so they can watch our show?
There's no question. By the way, what's going on over there? It's bananas packed.
Yeah.
It's crazy busy.
I think for Easter, maybe people are in town.
My Big Shot parking ramp, you know, where I have exclusive parking if I can find a space, was just a zoo.
Yeah. It's pretty deep. Well, how much coal did we find?
We went down 19 levels.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So we ran into some Chinese people down there. Remember that?
Well, I was going to say that, but I was
afraid.
It's
a Bugs Bunny joke.
I was afraid.
Are you guys going to be able to find your car, or am I going to have to drive
you
around?
Not a shot. No chance.
Like I did
no
that
chance.
One time.
I got it.
And finally this, McDonald's is ditching their fancy burgers. If you've gone to McDonald's in the past 6 months, a year, I don't know, they have these fancy artisan burgers. Because when you think McDonald's, you think fine art. And these are fancy schmancy quarter pounders with fancy schmancy stuff on them.
Well, did you even know you could get fried onion strings, bistro aioli, and mushroom Swiss?
I was in a band called Bistro Aioli.
But they're doing away with it because they're going to focus on quarter pounders.
The craft menu lists a mushroom and Swiss, a fried onion strings, a bistro aioli, and a bacon smokehouse burger. Is that all on the menu? I don't know that I've seen any of it.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. I didn't even know it was there to begin with.
I go to McDonald's almost every day for a Diet Coke. I should pay more attention.
Yeah, do you read the menu?
Maybe there's something on the menu that says, "Hi, Steve," that I'm missing. McDonald's said the moves in response to customer feedback, and they're going to focus on, as Sandberg just said, enhancing its line of quarter pounders. To what? Other quarter pounders? I mean, isn't that what they're doing? What they're doing now. I don't know how you...
They specified that there's a quarter pounder deluxe, which includes lettuce and tomato.
Well, that is deluxe.
Makes it healthier. What do they have, like, Beyond Burgers or Impossible Burgers?
They do not.
No, but that's a good... Yeah,
that would
don't.
Be good.
Yeah. Well, now, you start cooking vegan burgers, you'll ruin the meat.
How do you figure?
Because then you get all that health and vegetable and all that good stuff.
You want to keep that out of McDonald's?
No. Can't do that. That is your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
All right, we got a very confusing situation here. Lou made it very clear in text message exchanges with Sandberg that he wasn't going to work today.
Correct.
And he's at work.
He's at work.
So how did this happen?
My wife makes me work.
But we didn't set aside the normal amount of time for you. Now we don't have any time to talk to you.
Wait. That is like a complete... When does that ever happen? What would be the definition of the normal amount of time?
More time than today.
Oh, do you want me to just say Happy Easter?
No, what are you doing for Easter, though?
When I get done working with you and doing a quick little WGN hit, I'm going to hop on a plane and the entire Manfredini family is going to go see my daughter Carmen out in Los Angeles.
Nice!
Isn't that nice?
Where's she working?
She works for MGM.
Never heard of them. Are they a big company?
They're trying to make it in the
movie. What is she doing for MGM?
She's an interesting... She wants to be... Carmen wants to be a comedy writer. She's very funny. Mm-hmm. But currently, she's in the industry working in their... What they call their delivery department.
Mm-hmm. Where they bring babies?
Well, no. But it's very interesting. So they obviously own all these titles, right? Like Rocky. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they're going to release the movie in Bangladesh. Mm-hmm. Okay?
She has to go to Bangladesh and drop it off?
No. But their department makes sure that it has all the proper licenses. licensing and the closed captioning and the translation. And they sort of act like a, almost like a general contractor. Like, all right, send it out for the closed captioning. Then it comes back. And then once everything's done, they go ready to be delivered.
So they should call that the delivery department. I mean, based on what you just said.
Kind of interesting, yeah. It's interesting. It's she said it's...
And she loves L.A.? She misses Chicago.
She does. Yeah, she... And, you know, she went to school in New York, so Carmen really loves New York, but she knows that as a writer, that's where all the writers are. And she's trying to get a writer's assistant job. She's doing a lot of writing, you know, like all they do, writing screenplays and bits and that kind of stuff. And you'll appreciate this, Steve. She's working on a 3-minute routine to try and do some stand up.
Well, she should get a hold of DeCoste. DeCoste has taught many people.
Yeah.
DeCoste taught Richard Pryor.
I would go, but I'm working at Ace today.
Thank you. We need some help. The weather's going to break.
Yeah. Propane day. Propane day.
Having lived at LA off and on for various periods of time, it's so fantastic. You get off the plane. You think, this is the greatest. And about 24 hours later, you go, I have got to get the hell out of here.
It's hard to get around there, but it is beautiful. She says that she rides her bike to work, and she goes, it's so pretty, you know. Yeah. And so that's...
And everybody's so real, so authentic.
Yeah, right. Everybody's so genuine, right? Yeah.
What were you going to say, Samberg?
I just... It's better to miss Chicago than miss L.A., you know?
Like, right, right. It's a good point. Yeah. Especially when you're her father.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great to have her home. Let's go to Leo for the first and only call, since Lou didn't tell us he was working today, being selfish like he is. Hey, Leo, what's your troubles?
Good morning. I have an outdoor spigot that, because of the winter, I'm afraid that the pipe may have developed a leak. The only problem is, Lou, that in the basement, this is a new house to me, there's some paneling that covers the basement walls, and I don't believe there's a shutoff valve for that spigot. The outside of the decorative exterior is sweating a little bit, which leads me to believe there may be a leak. What's the first step to do so I don't make this leak into a flood?
Save Leo, Lou.
When you have a, how, you know, if it's a frost-proof pipe, a valve rather, there's a sleeve that goes from the outside to the inside, and the actual valve turns on and off from the inside. Sometimes that little sleeve is what can crack in the real bad winter, especially if someone left a hose on there. And when you turn it on, you may hear water leaking. If you're really concerned about it, you're going to need to open up that wall. Now, what one thing you could do, you can buy, there's this thing called a drain lizard, and it is a camera that you hold almost like a little, like a, it has a little pistol grip, and it has a little screen and about a 3-foot-long flexible rod with a camera on the end. It's $40. John, who's going to be working at the Ace, can help you find it. They're there.
Aisle 4.
How did you know?
I memorized it.
Got it all memorized.
And it's called the Drain Lizard, and it gives you this camera. You could drill a small hole in the paneling and poke this thing in there. It even has infrared light, so it works in dark places. And instead of taking down a huge piece of paneling, maybe there's a way, or if you can get up in the ceiling and up and over, it may have a long enough gooseneck for you to see what you're doing.
Hey, it's Lou Manfredini, working Easter weekend because, well, God wanted him to.
Hey, happy. His wife is God. Leo, you're going to get a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC.
And we love Leo. He's a regular listener. We appreciate the support. And for you, my friend, God bless your family. Have a great Easter weekend.
Thanks, pal. All of you, too. Happy Easter.
See you later. It's 6:33. David Kaplan used to work here. He's going to be on a show today. Whatever happened to him?
Not sure.
You ever make anything of himself?
I see him once in a while at a Cubs game.
I'll see him later today at Ace.
Oh, is he working there, too?
He works with me.
Okay. We'll come back with the headlines before we get to that, as David Kaplan will tell us a few Chet stories as well, as we remember Chet Kopic today on 720 WGN. Back in a moment.
In the case of Khalil Mack, this guy, and God may strike me dead for this, is the equal of Dick Butkus.
Oh, wow.
He's that good.
Says a lot.
Significantly better than Brian Urlacher.
Yeah?
Urlacher was a great side-to-side.
Yeah.
Sideline-to-sideline linebacker. But you could beat him if you ran straight at him. In the case of Mack, this guy right now is inch for inch, pound for pound, the most devastating football player in the NFL.
Chet Kopic with Bill and Wendy. 65 consecutive Bears home openers from the time he was 5 years old.
I think the Bears put out a number yesterday. I think it was a little, like 68.
He probably didn't remember when he was two.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, he used to tell me it was five. Before we get to our guest, a brush with Chet. This is from the 608. Several years ago, I'm walking in a stoplight at Michigan and Ontario. Big guy next to me in a full-length fur coat. I said hello, recognized him, and thanked him as I'd won a prize on his show. He drops into full Chet mode. Told me he was going to Lowry's for dinner and to knock down some prime rib and drambuie.
Is drambuie still a thing?
I don't even know.
It always was,
but
though.
That is Chet. Ladies and gentlemen, David Kaplan. Good morning, Kaplan.
That's right. Get the prime rib, a spinning salad bowl, and wash it down with some drambuie.
Get yourself some drambuie. You know, and I like knock it down. Got to knock it down. Listen, nice to have you back on the show. Sorry about the circumstances, but you and Chet had a very interesting relationship, and I know you loved him. What do you want to say?
I did, because I would not be doing this phone call, would not have become so close to you guys and have worked at that great radio station for almost 22 years without him mentoring me and giving me opportunities when I hadn't earned the opportunities, because I was, you know, an inexperienced guy who'd never taken a broadcasting class. He saw something in me. He gave me opportunities on my coaching days in college basketball, and it led to what I'm doing for my career. But we also had an interesting relationship, because I can't tell you how many times I would see him at the East Bank Club and he would go, "Hey, how come I can't get on your show?" And I said, "Because both places I'm now working fired you." And my bosses said no, and he wouldn't accept that. And so I, you know, went to the late Jim Cornell, "Can I get Chet on?" And we finally were able to have him on a handful of times. And he actually filled in for me when I was on vacation last July. At radio, my bosses were so great to him on that. But, you know, he would always ask me. Just 3 weeks ago, I saw him, and he goes, "Can't get on the damn show, huh?" And I had said to our booking producer, Danny Wysocki, last week, "Do me a favor, please. I want to have Chet on again. He's got another book out or coming out on Dennis McKinnon. He's working on one with Tom Lemming. Can we get him on, please?" She's like, "All right, I'll work it out." And then we got the horrible news. So, yes, there would be days I will tell you, and I know Dave knows this, I'd look at Twitter and go, "Why is Chet blasting me on Twitter?" That was at my wedding. And then I'd see each other and we'd hug.
Chet went through a period from being the guy in town to being a guy that used to be in town to being very angry. He went through a period of being very angry at a lot of people. But the thing that really is sad to me, Cap, is in the last few years, he really seemed to be comfortable in his own skin, and writing these books was very therapeutic for him, and he seemed to be finally getting comfortable with being Chet at this point in his life. So that makes the whole thing more sad for me. You know, his daughter got married a month ago. He had a lot of life left to live.
He did, and I would tell you that two people that deserve a ton of credit, they may not yell it from the mountaintops, but people should, is John McDonough and Jay Blunk. Mm-hmm. Those two guys gave him opportunities when a lot of the broadcast medium and others had turned their back on him.
1,000%.
And he worked for the Hawks. He would MC events. He would be at this and be at that, and voice over this and that. And those guys should have a smile on their face today knowing what they did was just phenomenal.
McDonough will join us later as well. Are you going to focus on this on your shows?
Yeah, we did a whole, Pat Boyle and I did a lengthy show yesterday morning about Chet, and we had Gene Greco on, Steve Dahl. I know you had Steve as well.
Well, Steve and I are very close, as you know.
Steve, when we had Steve Dahl on, Steve Cochran said to him, "I'm a big subscriber."
I just think Chet would have found it. I just think Chet would have found it hysterical that he's the reason Dahl ends up on my show. But Steve Dahl said some wonderful things about him. Obviously,
he did. And I said to Steve, "You still out at the White Sox games in your fancy scout seats?" And he listened, laughed at the answer, and said, "No, Daddy lost his high-paying radio gig. No, he doesn't have the seats anymore."
The self-deprecating Steve is a charming guy. Listen, I'm sorry for your loss. He certainly knew Chet much better than I did, but we all became friends. And as I said, I'm glad he had some time at the unfortunate last few years of his life, but I'm glad he had some time in those years to feel pretty good about things, because I really think he did.
Yeah, and he goes down as a legend. He does. I mean, whether he was, you know, close to you, whether he wasn't close to you, whether he was mad at you, whether he loved you. I got a text yesterday from the great football scout, Tom Lemming, who was doing a book with Chet. And, you know, I told you 2 or 3 weeks ago, he's yelling at me at the East Bank, get me on the show.
Right.
Don't forget me. And Tom said, hey, I just want you to know last week your name came up and Chet said how much he loved you. And I went to bed last night. I said to my wife, wow, I got two different texts from two different people that said that Chet had said something like that. And that gives me great comfort that while he's gone, I know that our relationship was in a good place.
Yeah, totally agree.
I think he was very proud of you, Cap. And just, and we mentioned this, we were talking with John Williams yesterday, that I became aware of David Kaplan from his appearances with Chet when Cap was doing the Windy City Roundball Review. I didn't know Dave.
Yeah, he was a basketball coach.
We ended up working together for, what, over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I remember when you were still doing the magazine or the newsletter, you came in. I was the assistant program director at WGN, and you came in and met with me here. Because you were looking to branch out in broadcast media at that point.
Seems like 10 minutes ago.
That was almost 30 years ago.
Yeah. Isn't
that
insane
crazy?
Yeah. Where it is.
In other words, I love you, buddy, but you're old.
Yeah, we're both old.
No question about it.
Listen, David Kaplan, ESPN Radio, and also, of course, NBC Sportsnet Chicago, and, well, everywhere. You can tell because he wears fancy colored coats.
And he's a social media superstar.
Yeah, yes. Yep.
Does he ever have you on his show?
Yeah, when are you going to have me on your show?
You tell me when you want to come on and you're in.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. I love you guys.
Love you back. See you later. That's a great David Kaplan. It's 6:51, and you want to play a little fact or fiction, John? Should we do it? Let's give something away.
Let's do it. I love it.
312-981-7200. Would you like prizes? You like free stuff? Who likes free stuff? Raise your hand if you like free stuff. 312-981-7200. We'll play fact or fiction next. Just get on the phone, and I got a good feeling you might win.
Fact or fiction, fact or fiction. The simple game show causing mass addiction. DeCause will write the fake one. Make your choice and then the game's done.
All right, you're playing for, amongst other things, a month-long membership to Row House. What's that, Sandberg? What's Row House?
Row House is a row studio in Old Town, a boutique fitness rowing studio located at 1226 North Wells in Old Town.
With a bunch of rowing machines.
Yeah, 9 more studios are planned to open in the Chicagoland area. Grand opening is next weekend, April 26th through the 28th. You can book a class at therowhouse.com or 312-819-2333. And I will tell you, and Dave can attest to this, a rowing workout is one of
tremendous.
The best full-body workouts you can do.
True.
I recommend it.
John is a stroke guy there. He stands in front of the room and goes, stroke!
That's
stroke!
That's absolutely true. I didn't even know you knew that.
Cool. Let's see. Mary is on the north side. Good morning, Mary.
Morning.
All right,
look at this. More Marys, the better.
I know. All right, very simple. And by the way, Mary, we have other prizes as well, along with the fine people at Row House. All right, so fact or fiction. John.
Here you go, Mary. Fact or fiction. More people live in the state of California than the entire area of Canada. The country of
the
Canada.
The entire country of Canada?
Country of Canada. More people live in California than all of Canada.
So the population of California is bigger than the population of Canada.
Right. Fact or fiction.
Fact or fiction.
I think that's fact.
That's good. That's a fact. That's good.
Is it really?
Yeah. Wow. 36 million in Canada, 38 million in California.
Wow. Very good, Mary.
Hey,
I had no idea.
Hey, Mary, where do you live?
Northwest Side.
Chicago?
What's your address and Social Security number?
All right. I'm going to give you a MyPillow, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Order yours at MyPillow.com. Use promo code WGN.
Well, thank you.
All right. Hold the line.
Way
thank you.
Go, Mary.
Greg is in Lake Zurich. Greg.
All the Marys are so smart.
Hi there.
Hello, Greg. Don't be creepy. All right, fact or fiction.
Here you go, Greg. Navy Pier has had three names. It is called Navy Pier now. Prior to that, it was Municipal. And prior to that, it was Polk Brothers Pier.
P-O-L-K?
Yes.
You know, President James K. Polk is my favorite president.
I'm sorry, repeat that, Greg?
I would say that's false.
Yeah, that's false. I made that up. Polk Brothers.
Polk Brothers Pier. Hey, you're a winner, Greg.
You're going to win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicago locations online at loumalnati's.com.
All right, Greg, hold on. Let's go to Tim in Lincoln Park. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, everybody.
Tim, you're going to be great in this rowing studio if you win. So let's go fact or fiction.
Here you go, Tim. Vikings would settle disagreements with each other by having a rap battle.
Give it again.
Vikings would settle disagreements with each other by having a rap battle.
Are you talking about like a rhyming rap battle?
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the Minnesota Vikings? Sorry.
Tim, what's your answer?
I'm saying fiction.
No, that is a fact.
What?
Yeah, it's called flighting. They would yell at each other in rhyme.
Are you serious?
Okay, but that wasn't totally a rap serious. Battle, John.
That's kind of a rap battle.
It is a rap battle. Musically rhyming, yes.
I got this spear. I throw it at you. That kind of thing?
Yes, very much so.
I'm going to give John an app gift card, Pleasing People, since 1936.
Well, he lives in Lincoln Park. Maybe he wants to row, too.
Do you want to row?
Sure, love to row.
All right, you're going Row House Old Town.
Awesome.
And I'm going to give you an app gift card because I already
You're going to win both. And Jennifer, we ran out of time, but you get an app gift card too. Congratulations.
There you go.
All right.
And the apt people, my new oven needed some custom cabinetry around it to make it fit perfectly. And the custom cabinet guys came from apt on Wednesday, and they were incredible. And they're coming back to do it on April 30th. And I cannot wait. And the apt people are the absolute
they're
best.
They're amazing.
And
I'm
their
not
cookie
surprised.
Maker, Leslie, is coming in next week to bring her cookie.
Oh, we got to talk about cookies in a second because you have to quit today. It's coming up on 7 o'clock, and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be. By the way, Mary, who won the MyPillow, she got so excited she hung up. Mary, call back and claim your prize. 312-981-7200. Back after this.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Because of the incredible success of Moron Entertainment, we've been asked to expand to an early edition as well of Dean. Either that or we ran out of time in the 8 o'clock hour. Good morning, Dean.
Yeah, despite public demand, we're doing two segments today instead of just the one that we normally do at 8 o'clock.
Oh, I missed that. So the demand was don't do any more.
Yeah, people were getting mad saying, take this crap off the air. So we moved it to the 7 o'clock hour. But I think we're actually still doing the 8 o'clock hour. We're doing two segments, I know, in different hours today.
See,
it's
see,
two for Friday, man.
So this take this crap off the air, I misinterpreted. Because I think we can agree it's vague. Take this crap off the air. I thought that meant, hey, can you do more Moron Entertainment?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, different people take common phrases like that in different ways. I took it as a compliment myself.
It's the Steve Cochran Show, and that's Dean Richards, and it's a big weekend ahead here in America. I'm looking for my paperwork. I don't know if you can tell. Where are you this morning? You're out again.
I am around town again today because Anna Balaval is...
Anna Balaval!
She's not filling in for anybody. She's being a good daughter, and went home to Puerto Rico to be with her family for Easter.
When did her family move from Cuba?
They don't live in Cuba.
Her family has never lived in Cuba.
What?
I think you may be mistaken.
What?
I think you may be mistaken. She enjoys a nice Cuban sandwich, but I don't believe that her family is now or has ever been from Cuba.
But Cuba is a suburb of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay. I'm pretty sure that you would get in a fist fight if you said that to Anna.
Yeah. That song Havana is about her, though, isn't it?
Yeah, not really. Mm. Not really at all. She's enjoying the warmth.
You know, she's not even in the country in this conversation frightens you.
No, Puerto Rico is part of the country. You would get in a fist fight with her for that too. Puerto Rico is part of the United States.
I don't think that's right. President Trump seemed to indicate it wasn't right. So, and I believe him. You know that.
Well, he threw paper towels at people there, so it must be part of the United States of America. Is all I know.
All right, so we'll maybe cover some entertainment later, maybe not. But I do have an announcement for you.
Don't you want to know why I'm here or where I am? That was your original question.
With my ADD, I've lost interest. No, why are you there?
Your Honor, you wouldn't quite make the Mueller report with your kind of investigative reporting. or maybe you would.
Yeah, I would.
I'm at Maggie Daly Park, just a few blocks away from where you are.
What?
At 10 o'clock this morning, they are having the Great Chicago Egg Hunt. They're at this moment, as we're speaking, they're spreading 25,000 Easter eggs all over the Great Lawn
hey,
in Maggie
Dean,
Daly Park.
I can see you. I'm looking out the window. Wave. Hi, Dave.
Can you see me? Yeah,
hi,
can you
Dave.
See me waving? Hi.
How you doing?
Hi, Steve.
There you go.
He's actually looking.
What I'm doing with this finger right now,
Dean. He actually is looking out the window, but he's looking at Navy Pier. So
I don't.
Steve is so easily confused.
That's what
he's
I thought
so
he was confused.
No.
So they're going to be giant bunnies out here, and the king and queen of medieval times are going to be out here. I'm going to be sword fighting with them later, and we're going to be doing all kinds of Eastery. Kind of things out here.
And when you think of Easter, who doesn't think of medieval times?
Right.
Right.
Really does. Ties together nicely.
Jousting.
You know, that's where Annabelle Lavelle worked. She worked at medieval times in Havana before she came to America.
If you remember the movie The Ten Commandments, they had a lot of Knights of the Round Table. There was a lot of jousting going on in Bethlehem.
How happy would you be if I stopped bringing up that Annabelle Lavelle's from Cuba? Would that make you happy?
No, it doesn't matter to me, but I'm just telling you that you are going to get into a fist fight with her one day about that.
My concern is she could take me.
Maybe that's exactly what you're looking for. You're trying to get Anna to put you in a headlock.
Well, listen, boy can dream. Now, here's why I was going to make the announcement a moment ago. We have an announcement. Sandberg is leaving the show. You thought Andre was leaving the station? She is today.
What?
I'm kicking Sandberg off the show.
No, that's not possible.
Have you had her super tasty, extra thin chocolate chip cookies?
I have not.
They are the best chocolate chip cookies that I've ever had, and I think most of the staff would agree. Does anybody disagree with that?
No, if they hid these cookies in Maggie Daly Park, I would knock over kids to get them.
Yeah.
They're so crispy and crunchy and delicious.
If you drop them, in war zones, they would have peace around
the
world.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or war is over the cookies.
Or that, too. So I'm insisting
leaving the show in order to bake cookies for you?
Well, I'm insisting that she quit the show and go off and start Sandberg Super Thin Chocolate Chip Cookies, the franchise.
Oh, wow. That's quite an enterprise.
Yeah.
I selfishly don't want her to leave the show, though.
Oh. Well, tough break for you.
Well, thanks, Dean. The one problem I have about the leaving for this franchise is I make a Martha Stewart recipe.
But she's a felon. It doesn't matter if you steal from her.
I don't know that I can start a franchise with someone else's recipe.
Why would you have to tell anybody what it is?
And you could always just add, like, an extra ingredient.
That's what I told her. Yeah. I said, put ham in it or something else that people wouldn't see coming.
And I would still eat it if it had ham in it. It would be that good. I would still go, that ham
doesn't
get in the way.
Better. You're
not far away. Swing by. Grab a cookie or 10.
You know, I may actually may do that here today.
Yeah. All right.
Dean, isn't there a dog park by you? Isn't it like a Maggie Daly dog park? Do you really want to go searching and trying to find stuff?
Oh, the kids pick up the wrong eggs.
Yeah.
Pick stuff out of the lawn. Mm. I'm not really sure about the dog aspect
of it. I don't think I've ever seen dogs over there, but that doesn't mean that they aren't allowed.
You know, these are brightly colored, pastel, beautiful Easter eggs.
So is what the dogs leave behind.
That's what you deserve to get in your...
dogs are not allowed.
Mommy, I got a brown one.
No, I'm telling you, depending on the breed, you can have brightly colored, pastel leave behinds.
Right. If the dog eats beets before going outside, that's possible. Hey, do you want one entertainment story?
Sure.
Before we go? Because I think this is a pretty cool story that just broke late last night, that they are going to be bringing back for a primetime special All in the Family and the Jeffersons. All in the Family, starring Woody Harrelson and Marissa Tomei as Archie and Edith Bunker. And Jamie Foxx and Wanda Sykes as George and Wheezy Jefferson. It's going to be an hour-and-a-half primetime special that will be on next month on ABC. Jimmy Kimmel is are among the hosts, the producers of it. But I think that's kind of cool to try to see if they bring this back. And Norman Lear, who was behind the original shows back in the 70s, is also working on this. So it's a big splash of nostalgia that they're trying to bring back.
It's a very cool idea. If that works, Petticoat Junction with the Kardashians is the girls.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. I like that.
You know me, I'm an idea man. Either that or the cookies are talking. All right, so we'll call you back in an hour for more on entertainment.
I'll tell you, we have some listeners that thought they were late for work because they heard the Dean song at 7:10. So
that's good.
How do you think they feel in our mountain time zone?
Wait till you hear us do this at 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday.
Once again, when you tell me, get this crap off the air, I interpret it to mean, you want more? We'll get it for you. More on entertainment. Thank you, Dean.
See you later.
That's Dean. More coming up from him, whether you like it or not.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
He's a local superintendent who, despite hardships, gets students on the right path for college and career readiness. And his name is Mr. Jay McCracken. He joins us now as the most valuable person on the planet. Good morning, Mr. McCracken.
Good morning.
Can I call you Jay?
Absolutely. I'd like that.
All right. So, Jay, tell me, when we say about you that you set kids on the right path, what does that mean specifically?
I'll tell you, I've been in education for over 40-some years, and I am still honored to be serving as an interim superintendent this year in Lamoille Schools. Last year, I was at Hall in Spring Valley. Prior to that, was in Putnam County Schools. And I've been so thrilled to have all these opportunities. College and Career Start are initiatives that we've been promoting in our schools. And in Lamoille, we just started the first Career Start program in our Illinois Valley Community College District. It involves cutting-edge curriculum that can help students see the relevance in their high school classes. Many students in school today don't always see the relevance of their classes and courses, despite having awesome teachers. And so these college or career pathways can provide students a jump start on achieving their goals.
So I'm
honored. It's not just me. It's obviously a whole team of educators who are working to make this happen.
So do you seek out kids who might not necessarily choose that path to maximize their lives, or do they come to you?
Actually, our guidance counselor, Katie Shavokas, in our school does an awesome job doing that very thing. And some kids will seek us out as administration as well. We really believe in allowing kids to have that opportunity to seek out the people they're comfortable with so that we can help them in choosing their future and choosing their pathway.
I salute the work you're doing. It's pretty great. Why can't we have this at every school?
Think it's something that could be replicated in districts throughout the state. We really believe it's a program that could become a model for the state. And again, there are other districts that are also working on similar initiatives, and the state of Illinois has begun to realize also the need for making some of our high school coursework more relevant. And again, we have some outstanding courses and amazing teachers in our schools throughout Illinois, and I say that with great confidence because I've served a number of them through the years, and we have incredible educators. We sometimes need to rethink, though, and retool our high schools, I believe, to help meet our kids' needs, because sometimes the kids have needs that we're not even aware of, and we need to get to know them and have personal relationships with them so that we can better understand what they need.
So I know the district you're in, you have a few kids, more than a few, that are they have challenges, like they don't come from a lot of wealth and things like that, and you're talking about getting to know them individually. Realistically, and I'm just trying to say this, not trying to sound cold, how do you develop that relationship with every kid that needs it?
Well, in our particular school, we're a very tiny district with, and again, very cutting-edge
teachers and curriculum, so we're very, very blessed in that regard. But it is a matter in terms of that people need to seek those kids out. We need to make sure that they're not falling through the cracks. And many districts today, they're beginning to just divide up kids and making sure that they have someone with whom they can speak on a daily basis, just to touch base with them, making sure that their needs are being met. At Hall High School, when I was there last year as the interim superintendent, many of the students would choose different individuals with whom they were comfortable, and it really does make a difference that they know that person really cares. And I think that every staff member, teachers, paraprofessionals, cooks, custodians, administrators, all have the opportunity to be the best part of a student's day. And I see that happening in our schools every day. It's really amazing.
And the deal is, every kid is not a perfect match for college. We just talked about this yesterday, the day before, a perfect match for college. And teaching a kid a trade not only helps the child with a career grow up into a career, it helps the rest of us. Pardon me.
Absolutely. We totally believe that it's a win-win-win. It's a win for the school district. It's a win for our community college and our area career center because we have students in their pipeline. And it's a win for our employers because they want qualified workforce, of course. And as we know, we have so many people retiring right now in the baby boomer generation. And we need to grow that workforce and make sure we have qualified individuals to fill those needs. So it's actually a natural thing that needs to happen throughout our state and our nation. And we're just working very, very hard to make sure that we're on the cutting edge of that. And again, I want to make sure that I'm really clear that I don't deserve the credit for this. Everybody around me who has been willing to work and change their curriculum. Have a high school staff this year who just embraced the idea right away and said, okay, what do we need to do? Tell us how we need to change. Sure. And our counselor has worked tireless hours making sure that she has written a 70-plus page curriculum that goes with this with all the career clusters. And it's really a very, very exciting thing for our students, first and foremost, but also for, like I said, our community colleges, our school districts, and so on.
Well, for you and your staff, you are the most valuable people on the planet. And the texter wants to know if you're originally from Iowa because they knew a principal there named Jay McCracken.
Really? No, I'm not, actually.
Well, that's just another Jay McCracken walking around.
I'm from Amboy, Illinois.
Thank you, my friend. Jay McCracken is the most valuable person on the planet, along with everybody else working on that. So that's always good to hear. And if your school's not doing it for kids, go talk to your school board and ask them why.
And thank you for that. Somebody nominated him, and we do take nominations for MVP.
How do you do that?
You can send us an email. You can contact us on Facebook, on Twitter. You'll anywhere on the website you can contact us. So just let us know, and we're happy to get more. You know, we find a lot of them, but it's nice to have listeners that suggest them.
I want to apologize to about 50 texters who said, "I can't believe you made me think I was late for work," because we had Dean on early. And he'll be on later, so we'll really screw you up by the time we're done. And we continue our text message question of the day, and that is brushes with Chet. Have you ever had a run-in with Chet Kopic? We'd like to know about it. 312-981-7200. My brother, this is 847. My brother and Chet were good friends at New Trier, and when he would come to our house, he'd go right to our fridge and raid it. He also would do play-by-play on our Nutria radio station, and he'd call me the legend when I was barely a starter. How about that, Dave? Chet's a kid in high school, and he's already started with a Rock Candy Mountain and the legend.
Doing the promotion bit.
It's 7:32. Headlines next, 7:20 WGN. Sad, sad, sad news. Chet Kopic was killed in a car accident. Look, we've all known Chet a long time, but maybe nobody's known him longer than Steve Dahl, who joins us now.
One afternoon, Gary and I are on the air. I get a call on the hotline, and it's Chet. He goes, "Dahlster." I'm like, "Yeah, Chet, what's up? There's a shake at the stick. I've got to go live." And I'm like, "What?" It was the earthquake in San Francisco during the World Series.
A shake at the stick.
1989.
Wow.
There's a shake at the stick. I've got to go live.
Nobody should pass it. 70, but he had an amazing life, and there's no way you can talk about sports in this town and the coverage of sports without talking about Chet Kopic.
And I need to just say one more time, he invented sports talk radio and never gets credit for it.
Steve Dahl on the show yesterday, the president of broadcast media for Tribune Media, Larry Wirt, is going to join us now. Larry was my boss. Larry was Dahl's boss. I think Chet would find it delightful that he brought Steve Dahl and I together.
I don't know if it's in his top 10 achievements.
But I think he would have it on his list.
Yes. Larry, you knew Chet for a very long time. Many of the stories about Chet you couldn't tell on the air. Tell me when you can.
Well, you know, the one I just listened to Steve tell, it was actually my first week running the Loop AM and FM, and I was in my office kind of late, and Chet stuck that big blonde fluffy head of hair into my office, and he said, "Hey, boss, shake at the stick. Should I go live?" And I had no idea what he was talking about, but he saw that opportunity. He worked all runways, right? He hit Steve. He hit me. This guy was just a Hall of Fame character, but certainly a passionate broadcaster, for sure.
Have you ever seen anyone, because I don't know that I have, who enjoyed it as much as Chet did? Because I don't know that I have.
No, he was really into it. And, there was a transition on the Loop every night at 7 o'clock from Stephen Gary to Chet. It's probably my most memorable interaction on an almost daily basis. Steve refused to get off the air because he knew that it frustrated Chet if he would be late, right? So this became programming, right? And Chet, of course, would come into my office. Wordster, he's doing it again. Boss, we can't let this happen. I got Lasorda on deck. So that would happen almost every night for at least 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And it really angered Chet.
Larry, did you have to kind of learn to speak Chet when he was working for you?
You did. You do. You just start doing it, right? it's almost like when you go to France and you start picking up an accent.
Sure.
It doesn't really mean much, but you're right. that was part of the deal.
I told Chet a couple of years ago, you need a Rosetta Stone of Chet Copic speak. You know, he would have killed it. He would have solved it all over here. He went from being the guy in town to being a guy who was bitter because he wasn't the guy in town to a guy who I felt like really hit his groove again with writing these books. Did you get that sense?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, look, I think I agree with Steve. He never really got his due credit. I mean, the Score radio station was launched in the early 90s. And, you know, quite frankly, some of the young producer, sportscaster, gold, you know, people that came from Chet's kind of nest, you know, helped launch that station. And, you know, some of them were quite frankly not respectful to what, you know,
right.
Who pioneered it. And, you know, I always kind of stuck by that and respect what came before you and then cut your own turf. I agree with Steve. Chet never got full credit for what he pioneered in that way, but he did. I think he saw sports radio and sports talk, and like, look, ESPN wasn't even rolling yet, right? When he was doing what he was doing,
sure.
I think it's fair to say he became a little bit bitter that he didn't, you know, roll with all of that momentum as much as he maybe thought he could have and should have.
Yeah, but you know, the cool thing is he pulled out of it. You know, he had his moment in his early books a few years ago. He was still ripping people. But somewhere along the line, and I don't know if it was his fiance or, you know, changing your life or getting older and all that. But, I just feel good about the fact that even though he got robbed of a lot of years here, he seemed like he was in a good place.
Yeah, I think he was. I gave him some advice once. We were talking about what he could do next. And he really wanted to get back on television. He wanted to vindicate and get back on Channel 5. I eventually left the Loop and got that job. And, you know, look, we moved a different direction, and we used to talk about it. But, you know, look, I gave him advice once. I said, you know what, Chet, you know what? You're so bad at picking games against the spread. but think about this. You're so consistently bad that you could probably make a living off it. Right? I mean, it really doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. As long as you pick consistently one side of a...
Well, that's it. You know, it's like short-selling stocks, all right? I mean, he could eventually...
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he could eventually do it. And with gambling about to break the way it is in this country, that could have been a whole new road for Chet.
That's what I thought.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
You know, Dad, you asked a question about what stories can't you tell. Well, you know, Chet used to do outtakes with Matt Bisbee, who was one of the genius
One of the best ever.
Contributors, right? And they would do promos together back in a production room. And they just would come out of there, everyone in tears laughing, because Chet would as great as he was, you know, on the air with his style and voice and phonetics, doing promos, he had Tourette's. He had continual Tourette's, and, you know, stuff you could never air, but they'd come in, show me out, listen, you know, let me listen to outtakes almost every day, and they were phenomenally fun. And
well,
inappropriate.
Whenever the family decides on a public service, I hope it's the party that he deserves, and I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, he's looking down with joy. Everyone talking about him for sure. And listen, what a great character! He contributed so much to the radio landscape, to the just the broadcasting landscape, and just he did it his way, right? And,
no question.
Just sad we lost him soon, and but I think of him with you know, admiration, and I generally have a smile on my face whenever I would bump into him.
I totally agree. Yep, it's Larry Wirt. He runs his company, and Larry, as always, thanks for letting me work here.
Thanks, Steve.
Yep, that's the boss.
Yes.
Yeah. I love the notion of Chet doing outtakes, because you could hear him in your head, couldn't you?
No question about it. You know what I, and I said this to John Williams yesterday, even though we're remembering his radio career, mm-hmm. I really believe that the Chet was a TV guy, and he was doing TV on radio, mm-hmm. but his personality lent itself to television. When he was on Channel 5, you weren't in town
no,
yet.
No, but I knew of him, sure.
He was a
national figure.
Yeah, I think that was his bread and butter. I mean, yeah, I think totally he was terrific. And you had him and Gene Greco with him over there, and you had Johnny Morris at Channel 2 and Tim Weigel.
And he finally came around to realizing he had burned most of his bridges, because for years, you'll remember, he was angry. Mm-hmm. But I remember maybe a year ago being at a Blackhawks game with him. And he was very self-deprecating and talking about how, you know, we're talking about old jobs, and he goes, this job and that job, yeah, and here's how I ruined that one, and here's how I ruined this one. So, I mean, there was a clarity, you know, and maybe we all should get more of that.
Yeah, well, the mornings he came in with us, Steve, a couple of times.
Yeah.
The last few years, he seemed at peace.
7:52, Pat Brady has read the entire Mueller report, and will read it to us like a bedtime story in just a second.
What matters is what the Department of Justice and the special counsel concluded here, which is no collusion, no obstruction, and complete exoneration, as the president says. This has been a political proctology exam, and he's emerging with a clean bill of health.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I agree with the proctology part. That's how I feel. Pat Brady joins us now. He's read the entire Mueller report. I guess we don't have time for you to read it all to us, but it would have been a good idea, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, I didn't get through all of it, but I was reading it last night, and I ate probably 200 melted milk ball Easter eggs.
Good call by you.
good today.
here's what the Mueller report isn't. It isn't an exoneration on any level. Here's what it is. It's a document that says, in Mueller's opinion, he didn't have what he needed to criminally charge any of them, but they all deserved it, almost without exception. And it paints a picture of a White House out of control and a lucky group of amateur hack criminals who came this close to going to jail, and some of them still are.
Yeah, takeaways for me are, number one, the press conference that the Attorney General of the United States held yesterday to outline the report, a detailed report, was at best misleading, which is disappointing. As an alum of the Justice Department, he's always proud to have that job because you're on the right side of the law. It was completely misleading. Number two, the Trump White House is an absolute comedy of errors from the campaign to their time in the White House. A bunch of really incompetent people, but except for Don McGahn and some of the other people that probably saved the president from being indicted. Three, the president treats the Justice Department like a New Jersey gaming regulator. I don't think he ever truly understood what this is all about. And four, and I think I give Senator Durbin a lot of credit for the clip you played earlier today, the focus should be on the Russians tried to interfere in our elections. Why is that not the topic of discussion and not the process of this investigation?
Well, and that's the really disappointing part to me about what Barr said yesterday and what he didn't say. I'm going to read directly from the report a full sentence here after I read the part Barr quoted. Here's what Barr said. The investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. That's a direct line from the report. That's half of the sentence. The sentence actually reads, although the investigation established that the Russian government perceived it would benefit from a Trump presidency and worked to secure that he would win that outcome, the campaign expected it would benefit electorally from information stolen and released through Russian efforts. Then what Barr said. So it's beyond misleading. He was completely dishonest.
Yeah, that's what I said, Ed Bass. And if you can't read through the whole thing, you really see. You get to the obstruction part, and it's fascinating if you like this stuff, the way he laid out the constitutional arguments. And but for the fact he's president of the United States, if this were anybody else, he would have been indicted. And give Mueller credit. He said, hey, I can't indict this guy under the current status of the law. I don't think I can. So I'm not going to, and not give him an opportunity for speedy trial, which would have been his right. We're just going to let Congress decide this, which I think was the right thing to do rather than invoke a constitutional crisis at this point.
Well, I'm not sure it is, because you and I differ on that, as you know. But here's my two legal questions that I don't know the answer to. There was a question about how long this could take, how elongated it would be, and that the Supreme Court process would take forever. Obviously, we know how long impeachment takes and what a disaster it is to go through, if you have to go through it. But the legal question is, the Supreme Court takes up emergency issues all the time. Wouldn't there be a bigger emergency? Would there ever be a bigger emergency than the president being a criminal?
I think the tipping point for this was the fact that they did not have the evidence because of, in spite of what the attorney general said, there was not a lot of cooperation from the Trump team. Bob Mueller in his report said that Trump's answer is that he only answered to the conspired with the Russians questionnaires. He didn't do that thoroughly, and people destroyed evidence. So the answer to your question is, had they been able to tie up the conspiracy part of it, I think he probably would have gone forward. But putting somebody on trial for obstruction of a crime that actually can't be proven is not very difficult, but more difficult.
Well, we both said all along this process that we would live with the results of the Mueller report, and I intend to do that as well. This story is certainly not over, because it's going to be fought out politically. But what you need to take out of this report is, well, first you need to read it. And don't just read a summary from a news source that you like because they agree with you. Read the report, and you will see what we're talking about, and the fact that the media not only didn't blow this up into something it wasn't, the media has proven to be factual in the stories it was chasing all the way through. And how about the irony, Pat Brady, that the reason Donald Trump is president is because of the Russians, because of James Comey, and because of all the people who work for Trump to keep him from driving the train off the tracks.
Yeah, if you read the report, and I encourage you to do it, as I'm not all the way through it, you really see that this president has no idea what the office of the presidency is all about, in my opinion. He has no idea of the Constitution, how it works, how you're supposed to behave, and he doubled down on it yesterday in some of the tweets he sent out. It's really kind of scary, but 18 months from now, we have an election, so the country can make a choice.
Can we make it that long?
I think we can. Again, maybe it's more into the weeds, and I enjoy this stuff, but the Constitution does work. And Bob Mueller, the way he laid it out, I agree with him. And it legally and otherwise, this was the right thing to do. And there's a record of what happened, and a very thorough and complete record done by some of the smartest people around.
Oh, and by the way, one last thing legally. The fact that the defendant or the potential defendant had his feelings hurt or is cranky, is that a defense?
I almost choked when I heard him say that. I've never heard anybody say that they did. I mean, I did white collar and corruption. That was so lame. But he couldn't come up with anything better, because if you read the report, it was on the obstruction piece. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I still don't get how he didn't get there. But
you know, here's the thing. We can talk politics later. But I give them credit, and I'm not in a good way, but they controlled this message, and they got them out here. They got the attorney general out to say that stuff ahead of the report, and that was the news. And I think that's, when you hear Kellyanne Conway repeating, which is fundamentally a lie, that seems to be the message that carried the day, at least early on.
The upside down world continues, and if you like profanity in your president, the president's tweeting out profanity this morning, so that's a lot of fun.
Happy Easter. Happy Passover.
Exactly. It's Good Friday. Obviously, he's very Christian. Thank you, Pat Brady.
All right, see you guys. Thanks.
See you. Back with the news in a moment, and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Ripley. me editor, channel 9720.
All right, we only have a couple of minutes here with Dean. And Dean, we've got a problem here because people are trying to break in and steal the cookies. These are Sandberg's cookies that she made. And two guys named Sherman and Tingle just came in, and I thought, I heard Sherman and Tingle, Dean. I thought it was something you'd say your symptoms that you went to your doctor for. I don't even know who they are.
So while he's doing that, Dean? I will tell you a story.
Dean?
Steve Bertrand came in here.
Dean?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you talking to me?
I just did this setup, this opening that really needed a response from you, and your non-response was great.
Well, it didn't sound like you were talking to me. It sounded like you were talking about cookies.
He is talking about cookies, and Steve Bertrand. Steve Bertrand came in, and he looked at the cookies, and then John DeCoste told him to eat one, and he said, "No, I like to hold off at first, and then come back for a second round and actually eat one."
Freak.
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird. We have a similar problem out here at Maggie Daly Park, Steve, where I am around town this morning, mm-hmm. because the Great Chicago Egg Hunt is going to be taking place here starting at 10 this morning. 25,000 eggs are going to be spread on the great lawn here, and I'm told thousands of kids come out for all of this, to gather up the Easter eggs. But the problem that we're having, they're putting the Easter eggs, and people are snatching the Easter egg staff because they're filled with candy and different toys. But here's the real problem, because Passover is also this weekend. We're also putting gefilte fish around the park this morning.
Well, that's going to change it for the kids.
Well, we're trying to be as culturally diverse as possible this year.
Sure.
So we have we're hiding little pieces of gefilte fish, and hopefully the kids can distinguish that from other things that might be in the lawn.
Remember when I was in a band called Gefilte Fish?
I do. Gefilte P-H-I-S-H,
right.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, we only did the Grateful Dead's version of Hava Nagila.
Dean, right. If you had a camera in studio, you would have seen John DeCoste enjoyed that gefilte fish that joke you made so much, he's laughing hysterically.
That's true. Dean, and here's weird part. Here's the weird part. He responded right after you said it.
I have to be prompted. If I'm supposed to respond to you, you have to say something.
Here's
what's happening in Maggie Daly Park right now. They're bringing out the 25,000 Easter eggs out onto the great lawn. And they're going to start distributing those. But also, I am surrounded by the Knights of Medieval Times right now. And they're going to be sword fighting here in the park.
Right. In honor of Good Friday.
Another traditional day here in Grant Park here this morning.
Is this before or after the Buffalo Bill Wild West show?
That's also later.
That's also.
Because nothing says Easter.
If you look at the director's cut of Cecil B. DeMille's Immortal Ten Commandments, you'll remember the great Wild Bill, Wild West show that was once part of it as well.
Well, listen, I really enjoyed our entertainment update. I'm more on entertainment, but I know you got to go.
There are movie reviews that are online. I just want you. Hey, will you guys clang your swords for me here, will you? So we can hear it on the radio. Look at that. Ooh, look. Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh.
It's not often that one man can tell another man, clang your swords for me.
And have you not get punched in the face.
Right.
Thank you, Dean. That's Dean Richards live at Maggie Daly Park with Guys with Swords. It's 8:19. Texter writes, details are vague. This is all abreast with Chet. But I remember being on State Street to watch Chet pay off a bet by running down the sidewalk in a Speedo in the winter. He showed up wearing his full-length fur coat, took it off, and was wearing only a Speedo. Wait, I thought this was a tribute to Chet. It's 8:19. We'll come back. John McDonough will join us in a few minutes. He probably knew Chet better than anybody.
I'm going to name the sport. You tell me the best you ever saw in that sport.
Okay.
Basketball.
2, Michael Jordan and Will Chamberlain.
Baseball.
Either Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle.
Football.
Either Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, or Lawrence Taylor.
Hockey.
Boy, I got to be sympathetic because I love the guy, and we did a banquet together at the UC in front of a Hawks game the other night. Bobby Hope.
A lightning round of Jeopardy when you're talking sports with Chet Coppig. John McDonough, the boss of the Blackhawks, joins us now. And as anybody that pays any attention to sports in this town, you know, for years and years and years, executive with your Chicago Cubs. And John, condolences to you. It's a loss for all of us, but it's personal to you.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Thank you. It's devastating. Last night was a bouncy night, and yesterday was a tough day. Very, very sad.
The family, we really heard for the family. You know, his daughter just got married and all the things that they're obviously going through. But we're lucky enough to have some really great memories and some funny stories with Chet. And I mentioned this earlier to Larry Wirt. Whenever the public memorial comes, I hope it's a party, because that's what Chet would want.
Well, he was an entertainer. He was authentic. We've never seen anybody like him. You either loved him or you didn't. He was very endearing. But it was, you know, interactions with him would be unique. You know, he would come into my office with his briefcase, and the briefcase did not have documents. It was loaded with Diet Cokes. And he'd open the briefcase, and then he would go into a Marlon Brando impression, and he would put his hand out with the pinky ring, and he'd go, "Godfather." And, you know, we had so much fun. And, you know, he had a TV show in the 80s or the 90s called The Back Table.
Yep.
And I don't really remember what network it was on. But
not MSG, Fox, the early form of MSG. Wasn't it one of those deals?
Yeah, it might have been. But I was on it a couple times, and I really don't know why. But it would be hard for me to keep a straight face recognizing that whatever question Chet was asking me, he was not paying any attention to the answer. And Steve and Dave knows this. When Chet would go, "Uh-huh."
Yep.
That was code for, "I'm not listening."
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or if he would have you on the radio, you could actually hear the pages of the newspaper turning while you're talking to him.
Right. And also, and anybody that's ever done what I do, you know there's a timing, there's a rhythm to interviews. And if you're good at it, you can time out the question that you sort of know what the answer might be, and you know the length of the answer, and you could do your taxes for some people, depending on how they answer the question. Chet would eat during the show. And Chet's biggest nightmare was whoever he thought would do a long answer would come up with a short answer, because then there'd be food falling out of his mouth for the next question.
Yeah.
And he might have been the greatest embellisher of all time.
Oh,
he would introduce you on the air or at a banquet, and about 90% of the things that he was saying about you was not true. It was so embellished. And by the time you got up there, there's nothing that you could say that would ever match the buildup you just received.
Amen to that.
John, I know that Chet emceed a lot of corporate events for the Blackhawks. I followed him a few times moderating panels at the Blackhawks convention, but I think most of our listeners probably know him from having watched him on TV or hearing him on the radio. Describe what it was like to watch Chet work a room at, say, one of these corporate events.
Unmatched, because it was a natural, it was a reservoir of charisma. It was just who he was. He had a unique personality. He loved attention. I think he loved to be noticed. And, you know, with the fur coat and the glasses and everything you've heard from everybody else, he told me the same thing about, you know, wave to a section.
Right.
But yeah, he was a great salesman. He was a great showman. You know, one of the more interesting challenges I had, he was doing both pre-post and halftime in the 90s during the Bulls' big run.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a Bulls game sitting on the floor with a friend of mine who drove me to the game. And in the first half, I had two or three beers, nothing to eat. And I'm walking over to the scorer's table to say hello to some of my friends in the media. And he grabs me. Now, I've got a little buzz going, maybe a little more than a little buzz. And he says to me, "We'll talk live with Cubs Vice President Bon Vivant, John McDonough." Now, I'm praying. I go to this sober place for about 2 minutes. He goes to commercial, and it was fine. He goes to commercial, and I said, "Chet, don't ever do that again."
Right.
Give me a heads up.
He, to echo the point you just made, I've never, and I mean, I'm talking about A-list Hollywood celebrities, all the way to some chucklehead who thinks he's famous and he's not. I have never seen a celebrity enjoy being a celebrity more than Chet Kopech did.
Perfectly stated, Steve. He absolutely craved attention. He was the best. He was a little Barnum and Bailey. He loved it. And the spot, he was born to be in the spotlight, and it was original material. You know, he didn't, you know, the United Center was not the United, it was a big bar. Wrigley Field was Cubs Park. Guaranteed Rate Field was Sox Park. Everything, he had his own brand, his own label for everything, something no one else had before.
There's a story from one of, you know, we're doing brushes with Chet this morning with the listeners. There's a story from the 815. Said, we spent Thanksgiving at Eagle Ridge in Galena, and Chet and some family members walked into the Sunday brunch at the lodge with our family, and my young daughter was mesmerized by the fur coat and wanted to pet it. He found that hilarious. He came over to our table, let my young daughter pet the coat, and kept coming back to talk to us while we were having brunch. I mean, that's Chet. That's Chet. You know, you and Jay Blunk probably knew Chet better than anybody in this town, in, you know, professionally and personally. I had such a great relationship with him as well. And maybe I keep bringing this up to everybody because I want to feel better about how this ended. Because he got cheated. And he got cheated and the rest of us got cheated. 70's way too young. And it's very sad that he's gone. But I really felt like, and obviously correct me if I'm wrong, I really felt like the last few years were maybe as comfortable as he's ever been. There's a story in the Daily Herald that talks about how rough his dad was on him and how he didn't have an easy upbringing. And, you know, maybe you could psychoanalyze that and determine that's why he got into show business. But whatever the case may be with the books and what he did for the Blackhawks, the last few years, I just felt like he was in a good place.
You know, he talked about his dad to me quite often. Jack Brickhouse was his godfather.
Right.
So his father and Jack Brickhouse were very, very close. But I do agree with you, Steve. I think the last years he was very, very comfortable. And we used him in a lot of different ways. I think it was, you know, it gave him great dignity and purpose. And he felt definitely a part of our franchise. And, you know, he rewarded us 10 times over. He was great, you know, in front of people. And once in a while, I mean, there would be mistakes. There would be malaprops. He would call Phil Russell, John Marks, or he would make, and he was very self-deprecating.
Yep.
It was easy for him to make fun of himself. We would be on the phone. He would say something to me that either didn't make sense or would be wrong. And he'd say, E6 if you're scoring at home.
Yeah. Dave Bennett, last word for Mr. McDonough.
Well, I just wonder, John, as you look at Chet's interactions with your ambassadors over the years, because I would always see him with the Bobby Hulls and Dennis Vards and the late Stan Mikita. What stands out to you about that?
Well, when he would be doing those banquets, Dave, and let's say that Tony or Bobby were running late, so we would need him to go an extra 3 or 5 minutes, he would extemporaneously go into these great stories about their career, and they were not fabricated. They were just from his memory bank, and it was brilliance. He could turn that on and off. And Dennis Savard and Tony Esposito and the late Stan Mikita and Bobby Hull and recently Chris Chelios, they really enjoyed being interviewed by entertainment and broadcast royalty. They spoke of Chet Kopech in superlatives.
He was, and that's why it's so important that he wrote those books, because he's walking, talking sports history in this town, really everywhere, but certainly in this town. Yeah. And we have an unwritten page now for those of you who didn't have that sort of encounter. John McDonough, thank you.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
John McDonough, the boss of the Blackhawks.
Well, we were heavy on testosterone. We were heavy on showmanship. As a matter of fact, Steve, I want you to go to YouTube today and type in Chet Kopech roller derby, and you'll see.
How do you know I haven't done that already?
Yeah, you no.
No, I haven't actually.
You're far too busy.
That's true. Chet was a guest 500 times and worked with me in the 90s. And there were times I wanted to punch him in the head. And the vast majority of times had laughs with him and had a great time. Texters, these brushes with Chet are great, too. Mm-hmm. 502, I knew Kopic all the way back to when he had Star 7 Sports with Bob Avellini.
Wow.
You remember Star 7 Sports, John?
I do, actually. Mm-hmm. How bizarre is that?
224, I worked for an airline and recognized Chet as he was boarding a flight. I told him my son and I are big fans. He hooked us up with Bulls tickets. It's 10 years later. I write him to thank him again. He wrote back saying he was in tears reading my letter. He'd be going through a tough stretch, and he really needed that.
Wow.
815, I used to intern at a local radio station. Chet was employed there at the time. Even as an intern, he was always beyond kind to me and always smiling. You know, that's the thing. The off-air Chet was not that different than the on-air Chet, but the off-air Chet was a very kind guy in almost all circumstances, in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a big, sweet whack job in a fur coat.
that's well put.
Yeah. I love McDonough's story that he had a briefcase full of Diet Cokes.
Yeah, oh, that's a great story. And your reference, too, to the piece in the Daily Herald today by Jim O'Donnell. I didn't know all that stuff about his rather rough relationship, I guess, with his dad.
Yeah, not good. And good for Jim O'Donnell, who's written the sports off and on in this town forever.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to see him doing that piece.
Yep.
And he hasn't always been nice to me, but I'm glad to see him doing that.
And he was also close to Chet, too.
Yeah, so I did not know that, but obviously.
Inside baseball stuff there.
847, widely reported that one of Kopic's first TV broadcasts was doing play-by-play for roller derby, as mentioned there. What hasn't been reported is his color guy was a Ford dealer named Burt Wyman.
I remember Burt Wyman.
Oh,
the Burt TV Wyman Ford man.
It's Burt Wyman, your TV Ford man.
Yeah.
This Ford Galaxy, 75.
And Luke Canellis, restaurateur and sports star, broadcaster extraordinaire. He'll love this. He's about to join us. 847, we're the company of some old Bears players. We're waiting to get into a restaurant. Chet walked by and said, you guys shouldn't be waiting. He took this entire mob to the front of the line at the restaurant. There were no open tables. Chet looked over everybody because he was tall. He saw a big group at a table and he knew somebody. He went over to him and said, can we join you? Hey, get us some chairs. And everybody joined up at the same table. Chet making it work.
I can see that.
Lou Canellis from Fox joins us now. And, you know, Lou, I think of the coaching tree reference in the NFL. There was a Chet broadcaster tree, wasn't there?
I'll tell you what. Number one, that restaurant must have been Bixby's and Crothers. Remember Bixby's and Crothers over there on Clark and North Avenue?
Yeah, yeah.
And I bring that up, and Dave, you'll appreciate this. I bring that up because when I was going to Loyola and growing up listening to Kopic on sports, at that time, I was interning at The Loop, and The Loop and AM 1000 were sister stations. So I would see Danny Mac, who was helping Kopic produce the show along with Cheryl Ray, and anytime Kopic would ask me to help him out with something. So I was interning for Bruce Wolf, but anytime Kopic would ask, he'd maybe need some sound because I was out at Bears Camp, and at that time they were in their old digs in Lake Forest, and I'd bring it back, and he'd give me the old Bixby's and Crothers gift certificate. And I would think, you know what, that's great. I mean, I'm a struggling college kid at that time, not making any money because at that time interns weren't getting paid. So the free chicken wings at Bixby's and Crothers were great, but just to be on Kopic on sports, that was it, because that's what I grew up listening to.
That'd be cool.
And you're right. You're right. He had he put together like you had Andy Reid put together his, you know, tree of coaches, and Bill Walsh. Kopic had the same at AM 1000 between myself and Brian Hanley and David Kaplan and Dan McNeil. And I mean, the list goes on. It's impressive. Here, I read some of those texts, and I wish some of these people came out and spoke of Chet the way they are today. Over the last 10 years, I wish they had done it before he passed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Chet hit a rough stretch.
Yeah, he did.
And it bothered me. There are some people in our business who did turn their back on him. And I tried and put him on the final word on Sunday nights because I understand the value of still having that platform
to remain relevant out there. And I knew that it feeded his ego and it made him feel good. But there were some people in our business that didn't.
Yeah, totally agree.
And they turned their back on him and it pisses me off.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, there's a memorial service coming up and I hope those people don't come. Because I remember when Tim Weigel passed and there were several people who were at that service who would actively disparage Tim, who showed up to say goodbye. You know, I mean, I had differences with Chet. Everybody that knew Chet had differences with him at one point or another. But I liked him. I liked him, and I respected his position and the success he had in this town. And there's no way you can't say he's anything but a legend, because you can't talk sports broadcasting history in this town without Chet Kopick's name being in it. So you got a story for me, Luke Kanellis?
Well, I don't know where to start, man. I'll tell you what. Kopick used to call me the Golden Greek, and my relationship became more family than even work after I had helped him out with Kopick on Sports, because Chet was a regular at the East Bank Club. We all know that. My uncle Nick Cladis, and I know, Dave, you know Nick.
Sure.
Who passed away many years ago. Nick was an original owner of the East Bank Club. So Nick was an alum at, he was an All-American at Loyola, and had built a terrific business at One Stop Food and Liquor. And Chet was a huge wrestling fan, obviously. Was the ring announcer for wrestling, WrestleMania II. So he and Nick had become good friends, and obviously Nick being my uncle, Chet and I built, it was more than just a work relationship. So he'd call me the Golden Greek. And here's what I'll, listen, the conversations that I'd have had, and we'd sit and talk sports, and he'd call me up about the Bears because he was such a huge Bears fan. I'll always remember those, but here's what I'll remember most. When I got the job at Fox as lead sports anchor, and they moved Corey into an anchor position to host Good Morning, Good Day Chicago at Fox, listen, for me, number one, it was a dream job because I was doing what I dreamed of doing, and that was being the lead sports anchor of a TV station in my hometown of Chicago.
Right.
But it was also a little overwhelming. And Kopick would send me texts, and he'd say, Golden Greek, you're doing a great job. Do this, do that. You're not smiling enough. And he always looked over me, or he would send me an email. And I will always remember that and be appreciative of that for, you know, with Chet. And I miss him. I miss him. I, you know, listening to him when we opened this segment, just, man, you don't appreciate someone until you really lose him. I always appreciated Chet, and I always wanted to help him out. And showed up at his book signings when I could with a camera. But he was a good man, and you're right, Steve. He rubbed a lot of people the wrong way because that's what he did. That's what made him Chet Kopick, yeah. And so good on the radio. I worked with a guy named Bill Simonson that did the same thing. Yeah. But deep down, he had the biggest heart in the world.
Dave Ennett, last word with Lou.
Well, just real quick, just down memory lane, Lou, we all, the three of us, Chet, you and I worked together for a company called Public Interest Affiliates, and you were producing NBA radio, right?
Exactly.
And Chet was your NBA radio host, and I would fill in once in a while for him, but you also produced the Northwestern football games. And yeah. The day I did my very first Northwestern broadcast from what was then Dyke Stadium, and you must have given Chet the number to the booth. There were no cell phones. And we get to the end of the first quarter, and the phone rings in the back of the booth. And the engineer picks it up, says, it's for you. And we have 60-second break. I pick it up. Dave, it's Kopick. I want to tell you, you're doing a hell of a job selling the cats and Fran Pay. And just really, right?
Pay. I mean, exactly.
You remember that?
I mean, oh, that's great.
And I was always great. And he would still mention that to me 25 years after. Remember that day I called you?
That's tremendous.
Yeah, I did.
The great Chet Kopick. And by the way, Luke Kanellis, congratulations in your world. I understand you just opened a new restaurant.
Just opened a new restaurant, the Greek restaurant in Lincoln Park called Avlita Verna at 1335 West Brightwood. Thank you for allowing me to get that in.
Sure.
No, it's been terrific. If you guys like Greek food, please come by.
Got to be a Kopick table in there.
I'm coming by.
Got to be an honorary copic table in there that you can come in. Bring all your Bears friends.
Absolutely. Well, that's the problem is it's only 51 seats, so it's not like I can sneak people in. So if Copic pulled what he did with that
tester
told me about, I'm in trouble.
Well, say hi to your wife, and thanks for coming on.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Luke Kanellis from Fox 32. He's got two joints now?
He's got two joints, yes. And you know, he has that baby girl. And yesterday he could not join us because he was at a swim lesson with her.
Sure.
It was just cute.
I get that.
Dad duties.
It's 8:51. You want to play some more Fact or Fiction?
I'm here. Yes, let's do it.
Okay, you're the game show host. I'm not going to tell you to do it unless you're ready, man.
Oh, then let's not.
How about now?
Okay.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is the number. Plus, we have something we need to plug, and I'm forgetting what it is.
No, you asked me that at the beginning of the show.
So we don't have anything to plug.
We have shows coming up in the fall.
August and summer September.
So we'll push
We don't have anything until August?
That's because of your golf.
Okay.
Fact or fiction, fact or fiction. The simple thing shall cause a mass addiction. The cause will write the fake one. Make your choice and then the game's done.
Time now for Fact or Fiction. We got people lined up to play. And John, you're our excited game show host. Can I hear a little bit of that?
Excited game? This is great. I can't wait.
Yeah, see? Told you. Mike's from Hoffman Estates. All right, Mike, simple thing here. John will give you a fact.
Okay.
You simply need to tell us if it's a fact or fiction. All right, John.
You got it, Steve.
Okay, here you go. American football touchdowns were originally called tap stops.
Touchdowns were called tap stops?
Yes. When the league first started, touchdowns were called tap stops.
You're telling, he's in tap stop, right?
Tap stop, Kansas City.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Your answer? Fact or fiction? False. Yeah, that's false. Yeah. I made that up. That's good.
So they were touchdowns?
They were touchdowns.
Congratulations, man. You're a winner. Thank you for listening. Hold on. Don't hang up.
Mary is going to get an apt gift card.
Mary's in Rogers Park. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how you doing?
We're good. Are you?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go.
Here you go, Mary. Giraffes.
Another Mary.
Oh, Did you notice how Mary had no time for my BS?
No, she just wants the prize.
Yeah, she wants to. Let's go.
Giraffes and humans.
I got a life, Steve. Let's go.
Fact or fiction? Giraffe and humans have the same number of neck bones.
Giraffes and humans have the same number of neck bones.
Same number of neck bones.
Fact
or fiction?
You ever see anybody with a...
fiction.
That is fiction. No, that is wrong.
That's a fact?
All mammals have the same number.
I'm going to give Mary a MyPillow because she's named Mary.
That's wrong.
Oh, thank you.
All right, but wouldn't they have more vertebrae than the average, than the
just
person?
Just the facts, Dave. Just the facts, Dave.
How do you know this, Dave?
Who has more spots?
Stop!
Who has more spots, giraffes or humans?
Oh, it depends.
Depends on how old a human is.
Yeah, that's right.
Good point.
Spots.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Good point. Jeff's in Utica. Let's go to Jeff. You're in Utica, New York?
Utica, Illinois.
Oh, okay. All right, John, when are you ready?
Here you go, Jeff. There was actually a Nobel Prize given to a scientist who proved that falling trees in the woods do make a sound.
That would be fiction.
Got a Nobel Prize for that?
That's true. It's a lie. He's right.
Wait,
he's
right. Correct.
He's correct. Yeah. Sorry. I just got corrected by Mary.
But the whole thing there is falling trees make a sound, but if no one there is to hear it, does the
Well, that's just the saying. John works in facts here.
So,
vector fiction.
Where does a bear poop?
He's going to get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Congratulations, Jeff. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
All right, man. Hold on. I thought that went well.
I've seen those bears poop on TV where they have like the Charmin and they're trying to get the
fact.
Oh yeah, I've
that's
seen
a
it.
Fact.
There's a red one and a blue one.
Yeah, yeah, that's a fact.
That's a fact that Charmin has.
We
bears.
Get the rat at
Charmin.
Our house.
Yeah,
we get our Charmin from the woods.
The little store there. Yeah, coming up, stories of matter with Steve Grzanich. And by the way, that one we just talked about wasn't one of them. He's in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom, and Andrea Darlis is in the PPG Paints green room. She's coming up after 9 o'clock as well. To tell us why she's glad to get rid of us. But first, this.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. La la la.
Andrea Darlis is here. More on her last day as she goes around and steals stuff out of people's desks. And why wouldn't she? Andrea, we're getting a bunch of texts. These are brushes with Chet Copic. 708, I worked with Chet at WLS. He got me in the press box for a Notre Dame game with Miami. Said I was his assistant. Nobody knew.
Oh, they know now.
That's what I always said when I was with you.
Yes. Steve, get you in anywhere.
Do you remember our Chet Kopic story? You were hosting a panel, you and I think Ennett might have been there. And it was a panel when we had the Cubs.
Okay.
And you were
like a Cubs convention?
Cubs convention, yeah. And
oh, yes.
And you were taking questions. People were coming up from the left side of the aisle and
and Kopic was asking questions.
Yeah, Kopic was waiting in the line and he had his big coat. He had his fur coat kind of draped over his arms and he's in line and you're like, "Oh yeah, yeah, this young broadcaster coming to the microphone," but he waited in the line with everybody.
Yeah, and Chet was 6'5" before he started shrinking.
Yeah.
So he's probably 6'3" then.
Towering over.
Yeah.
Asking a question. What a
big Chet head. Let's see. 773. Me and my buddy were at the White Sox game, or at a White Sox game at Old Comiskey in 1990. Saw Chet on the ramp. He was nice enough to take pictures with both of us. What a great guy. We got a bunch of those. Somebody texted earlier and said Chet was nice enough to take a picture with me, and then he insisted on taking a picture of me and my husband. Like, no, give me the camera.
Oh.
That was nice, huh?
He's a good guy.
Let's see. Oh, I like this one. 219. My parents were out to eat at Ruth Chris. We're both about 30. My mom was the real deal. Late 80s, early 90s knockout. Chet walked by. My dad noticed him. He stood up and said, "Hey, Chet, how you doing?" And shook his hand. Chet looked at my mom, then looked back at my dad and said, "Not as good as you, big fella."
That's great.
Great stories. Thank you, you listeners, for continuing to tell us about your brushes with Chet. We take time here to honor what's happening over at City Colleges because there's just tons of good stories. Andre, you know that.
Oh, my God. City College is a wonderful opportunity, even though it's going to be the competition soon.
Now. Right. Andre is about to become the big shot liaison in Chicago for a small school called the University of Illinois. But the cool story about City Colleges is that could be the stop on the way to the University of Illinois if you're getting it done, as two of our guests are. First off, Dr. Mark Potter, Provost, City Colleges of Chicago. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, thank you.
Nice to have you here. Cindy Alvarez, valedictorian at Kennedy King. Cindy, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Cindy, don't you think you're too smart for this show? You're a valedictorian.
Yes.
And Vashon Jordan Jr., graduating student at Kennedy King. What'd you graduate in? What are you going to do?
I'm going to go into television production, so graduation's right around the corner. I'm very excited.
I know a guy who knows people.
Okay.
And his name's Dave Ennett there.
Well, wait a minute. Andre works at Channel 9, too.
We need to have some great conversation then, yeah.
Do some job shadowing, sure.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah.
Vashon, just start sending out those digital resumes, man.
I have them right now.
All right, there you go.
Let's go.
Let me start with Dr. Potter. Dr. Potter, how many kids are going to graduate this year? And I know you're proud of every one of them.
Yeah, we have a total of about 4,500 students who are graduating with degrees this year, and we expect about 1,700 of those students to be walking across the stage.
How about that?
On May 4th.
What's a Star Scholar?
A Star Scholar is a student who has achieved a 3.0 GPA graduating from Chicago Public Schools, and they come to City Colleges of Chicago on a full scholarship to get them up to their associate's degree. We pay tuition and books.
And, the mayor and everybody at City Hall who worked hard to get this done, too, we thank them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is an incredible, incredible resource for the city of Chicago.
Vashon, are you one of those Star Scholars?
I am. I'm a proud Star Scholar.
How much did that mean to your family?
It meant a lot because I wanted to go straight to a 4-year out of high school, but when I got the financial aid award letter in the mail, that really put things in reality. So going straight out there wouldn't have been an option. But going to City Colleges first saved me a ton of money. I got the award letter out of high school. I had to pay about $15,000 a year. I don't have that money lying around anywhere, so I went to City Colleges first with the Chicago Star Scholarship, $0, getting my associate's degree in 2 weeks, and then I'm heading over to Columbia College Chicago, and right now I'm down to $3,000 a year, thanks to the Chicago Star Scholarship.
Changing lives. Cindy, similar story?
Well, I'm not a Star Scholar. That wasn't around when I was in high school.
But you're a valedictorian, Cindy.
Right.
Yes, I am.
You got that going for you. Well, what did your City Colleges education do for you?
It's been amazing. I think because I was so scared to come back in at later in life, it really helped to really help me get in there, get my foot in the door. I felt comfortable, and I was able to achieve well, and I'm going on for my bachelor's and master's and everything.
Studying what?
I'm studying accounting.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, so it's a fantastic thing. And Dr. Potter, you see kids whose lives are being changed, and people just older than kids, just by the little skosh, older than that. I mean, it's got to be a very rewarding thing for you.
It's unbelievable to know the lives that we are changing and impacting across Chicago, and the variety of backgrounds that our students come from, direct from high school, adult learners coming to upskill or to get a degree that they didn't get earlier. We have students coming in through our adult education program and transitioning into our credit degree programs, and we have valedictorians and salutatorians who have taken that pathway. So it's truly incredible.
Cindy, you have kids?
I do.
How many?
I have five.
Five kids?
Oh, yes.
Boy, you look great for a tired lady. And how old are the kids?
Well, they're not kids anymore. My youngest is 17 and my oldest is 22.
And all good and all doing good things in life?
All doing good things, yes.
Well, we got to be very proud of you.
I am. And they're very proud of me, and I have my son Christian here.
Christian!
Yes.
What's up, dude?
He walked me to school the first day because he was proud.
Well, he's also got to make sure you get there and you don't start messing around with your friends. Got to make sure you're focused.
Yes. Exactly.
Vishon, you come from a big family?
I do not. So I have just two siblings now. I have a sister that's 23 and a sister that's 3 years old. So
23, you and three.
Yeah. So it's pretty good. And my sister is going to be, you know, following my footsteps. She's going to high school. She's definitely going to college. She doesn't know it yet, but I'm letting her know that now. And I think one thing that a lot of people should know is, you know, myself and Cindy, we're not like one-off success stories, but this success and these things are happening all across the city with the city colleges. And this is something that any student can achieve through the STAR Scholarship and through the pathways that city colleges offer.
And Cindy, if city colleges didn't have this type of a program and this type of a welcoming environment, would you have been able to do it?
I don't think so. You know, our budget just didn't stretch far enough to be able to
Having children, Cindy. For God's sake, you have five.
It didn't stretch far enough for me to go into, you know, the university the four-year right away. But this was really a good transition for me, and I got a full ride scholarship from here.
Great is that.
Yes.
And Dr. Mark, why is this such a great springboard to other schools? Why does it work? Because it doesn't always work in junior college.
It's all about the quality. We have high-quality programs, and our four-year partners recognize it. They know that the students who are coming to those four-year programs are high-achieving students who will stand right up next to any of their other students and achieve just as well.
And blow them out the water.
If not better than them. There we go.
So we got an accountant. I forgot what you told me, Vishon. What are you going to do?
Television production.
Oh, that's right. Dave's going to get you a job.
Yeah.
He'll steal your makeup drawer.
I think we established that already. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me get right on that.
He's already got it.
It's right here. It's on air. Yeah, we're doing it.
Right.
It's fantastic. Listen, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
You're a
so
big,
much.
Wonderful family, Cindy and Vishon. Keep an eye on that little one, right? That 3-year-old?
Yes.
Going to guide that situation the whole way?
I believe I'm here. All right. For the entire run.
Dr. Potter, for families, and by the way, for people regardless of your age, and you maybe you didn't finish school and you want to finish school, and or maybe you got a kid that you think is not quite ready for 4 years, or maybe economics are what they are. What do people do to get in the program?
Registration is open now for summer and fall courses. Go to ccc.edu or call 773-COLLEGE, C-O-L-L-E-G-E.
All right. It's nice to see all of you. Thank you for coming over.
Thank you.
Angela, it's a long time coming. In your Volvo lights lit up green and white with the city's own signs. But you held your course to some distant war in the corners of your mind. From the second time
it is 9:24. The Illini contingent is in studio. ILL.
I-N-I.
Oh,
I-N-I. Go Cats.
Mary's here, too.
Mary and Andrea are both here. Now, Andrea is leaving the station, but not really.
Not
She's
totally.
She's still going to be here, but she will no longer do news full-time here or at Channel 9, though she's still going to be doing weekends at Channel 9.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're kind of changing your career.
Yeah, I'm definitely changing. I'm not going to be here Monday through Friday anymore, as you said, anchoring or doing news, but I'm going to be hosting my show, The Reporters. It's once a week, but now because of White Sox baseball.
It's on when it's on.
It's on when it's on, yeah. Got through it. The summer, we'll have, I think, 6 or 7 shows, and then it'll go back once a week. starting.
The preemptions are, you know, many because of baseball.
Yes. For the near future, I'll be doing the weekend break still on Channel 9 features until I follow.
Pass out.
Because it's still going to be 7 days.
So tell everybody what your fancy title is, and let's see if we can figure out what your job is.
All right, yeah. My title is Senior Director of Constituent Engagement at the University
of Illinois. Senior Director of Constituent Engagement. Now, when you think constituents, you think people that may or may not have voted for you, that you now represent. As far as I know, there's no vote involved with this gig for Andrea.
No.
Would constituent be former students, current students, or possible students?
Mainly all. All of the above, but mainly alums. Keeping alums engaged and active.
Oh,
and
now still. I see.
But yet, at the same time, I've gotten about 25 emails from people saying, hey, my son or my daughter wants to go to the U of I, and I said...
Yeah, can you make a call?
Now the connection's
Yeah, I said,
start.
Well, A, let me start. And
did you say, do I look like Aunt Becky to you?
I said, do I look like Rod Blagojevich? Stop it.
Right, stop it already. So your job, and I think this is perfect for you because you're so good with people, that you are going to make sure the alumni are involved.
Yeah, and promoting guests and advances and all kinds of news coming out of the college. I booked a guest for you in about 2 weeks.
Try it with Mary because she's an alumni. How do you keep Mary Vandeveld engaged?
Oh, Mary's a great alum. Mary's engaged. She's emceed Chicago Illini of the Year Award. She's a great alum. And
now she left the house?
At night.
I can't get her to leave a house to come see a show of mine, but she left the house for you.
It was before 8, and there was dinner.
Yeah, and there was dinner included, right? A nice dinner at the university club. But this is a crazy twist of irony. So
she's handing out pens and stuff.
I'm going to be working very closely with Mary Vandeveld's college roommate at the University of
Illinois. Is that right?
She's got a huge title.
I can't even remember her title. It's
she's like
foundation
associate
blah, blah.
Vice Chancellor for advancement and alums.
Susan Lee. Yes, she was.
So
my
is this
college.
What happens if you never leave school? You just stay and eventually you get a job and you just work your way up.
That's right. No, it's. I always said I'd never leave the media or I'd never leave radio or TV unless it was to work for the City of Chicago or the University of Illinois. Just because they're two of my...
Well, they're lucky to have you. And honestly, they made this position. They created this position. That's because they wanted you to be a part of the deal.
Well,
right?
I'm very honored. I'm going from one institution that is just a part of me, near and dear to my heart, WGN, to the University of Illinois, which has been a part of me for 25 years.
Dave, you should get a job tied to Northwestern. Have you thought about that?
No, that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Do you want to...
Here's my question. So, Northwestern plays at Illinois this year in football.
And I'll be there.
So can you get me tickets?
I can absolutely get you tickets.
Dave, you're calling the game.
Oh, yeah,
you
want that's
a
right.
I'll get you a skybox.
Yeah, you kind of have a booth.
You got to be there, right. Dave.
There's a Bloody Mary bar we have.
He wants tickets for the whole family.
Yeah, by the way, we're going to start selling alcohol. So this is perfect timing,
Is that a mere coincidence that you took this job and they've announced alcohol sales?
Is that your first move?
I said,
constituent
all right,
engagement?
I said, yeah, all right. And it is going to be, it's a home game
It's got
home
nothing
game
to do with
year.
Me. I'm only there for one game.
And it's going to be down. We got to get these alcohol sales moving.
And now all the alums definitely show up now.
Yeah.
Well, the students more, I think.
Now, I talked to you, Mary Vandeveld, about this. We think your first task, and we don't know if it generally falls in your purview, but is to get Lovey to shave that stupid beard. We know he's a great football coach, and we know he's going to bring the program back, but stop it with that beard. It doesn't work.
You don't like the beard?
Not at all.
I didn't like it at first either, but the kids now, remember how you created the Coach Q mustache night? Mm-hmm. They have the beard day, the beard football game now at U of I. Mm-hmm. Everyone wears like the Santa Claus beards.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's going
to
be
cheer about,
it's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good football year.
Are you
going to
help the team, Andrea?
I'm going to try. I'm going to try and promote the
strategy.
Team. We'll get Lovey on with you.
Where do you stand on Alma Otter?
Not a fan of Alma Otter. Alma Otter was voted down as the school symbol. We had. Remember, the revered symbol of Chief Illiniwek is no longer the symbol of the University of Illinois. But
was that controversial?
We're mascotless.
I never caught that.
Right now.
Are you going to try to bring him back?
Block Eye is the
Alma Otter? How did I miss this? So it's a female otter named Alma?
Yeah, but it was voted down. The students voted it down. It was going to be the new mascot, but now it's just good. The orange eye, the block eye, which, by the way, I brought you guys all some Illini swag.
Look at all the swag she's
it's
got.
It's a good-looking
pens,
logo.
She's got pens, luggage tags.
Flashlights.
Yeah, no, it's a good-looking logo.
You like it?
Yeah, it really is. But John's here. John, you and I spent a lot of time writing. If Illinois needs a new slogan, we could come up with something, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. I'm Love Champagne.
Ah.
He could write a new song.
Double
a song.
So does Dave.
Double meaning.
So does Dave.
Champagne.
No, I do too.
He could write an Chihuahua song.
Can you say Askiwawa?
I can't even say it anymore.
You know, it's funny. I fell this morning and I had an Askiwawa.
Yeah, that's different, actually.
Askibubu.
I miss you guys. God.
So what are the mascot possibilities? Are there some?
Not really. Not at this point. The Alma Otter was the most recent suggestion that was voted down. We saw that coming. I mean, I didn't think it was going to stick.
Who came up with that?
Just keep with the orange block eye.
Ithaca College in upstate New York, I came up with a mascot for them. It was Drapa Outa.
Drop out of.
Because I left school after a year.
Oh, God.
Fraternity guy. Yeah. Circles under the eyes. Right. Stars above the head.
Drop out of.
Drop out of, yeah. can you hang around a little bit?
Yeah, can I?
You know,
I'd love
this
to.
Is technically your last day, but really, I mean, you're not going anywhere. You're here.
I'll see you in a few weeks, hopefully.
More with Andrea in a second. Ed Farmer's coming up, too, today.
On the White Sox.
And I'm going to read to, we've set it to music. I'm going to read the Mueller report set to music.
Oh, perfect.
Oh,
perfect.
No, really?
Yeah.
I thought I was done with that.
It's only 500 pages.
Oh, God.
Menes is swinging a high fly ball. Does it well to right. Going back, Castellanos at the track, at the wall. He goes opposite field. And the White Sox grab the lead on a home run by Eloy Jimenez to right field, and they lead 3-2.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go, go, go!
White. Ed Farmer's scheduled to appear. We see if we can connect with that here in a couple of minutes. In the meantime, at 9:38, Andrea Darlis is here. John DeCoss is here. Dave Ennett's here. We're all here. Where are you? Oh, you're probably home or at work,
car,
or radio.
This is so much fun being back in here with you guys. It's like
remember,
old
you used
times.
To do this show every day.
I do. Yeah. I remember waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you do look really well rested. Don't you look super well rested?
I feel so well rested.
Is that what happens?
So it's 7-8 months of not getting up. Will do.
I still listen. I catch the last 5-10 minutes of the show pretty much every day.
You know what? Me
on
too.
The podcast.
Yeah, me too.
On the podcast. Oh yeah, I watch the podcast.
I don't start listening till about 9:45. Some people are texting in that had not heard your news.
Yes.
This is a job that you didn't necessarily ask for, that you were open to discussing, and it just sort of came out of nowhere, right?
It did. It did. We kind of started putting the wheels in motion. Well, I heard about it late last year, and I thought, oh, I did a lot of soul searching, and I thought, I don't want to leave WGN, but mm-hmm. this is such a wonderful opportunity, and it's for the University of Illinois, another passion and pride of mine. So it's just a fantastic opportunity, and I look at it kind of as another chapter, if you will, in my journey.
Yes. Yes, the journey doesn't end until it ends.
Yeah. You looked at me and laughed. She looked at me and laughed.
I did. You guys, you're all a part of my journey.
But there's a lot of congratulations, Andrea. Good luck. You're going to be great.
Thank you.
As a U of I alum and GM listener, I'm so happy for you. I miss you in the morning, but thrilled that you're doing what you want to do.
I miss you guys. I still listen to you guys all the time. I still listen. I hear Dean's segment all the time. I hear John. So I'm still going to.
You ever
listening.
Hear my sports?
Not usually.
She usually calls me at home and we talk through it.
Yeah.
Like we'll talk.
That's true. I'll be texting with Mary.
I believe that.
We text some interesting things, don't we, Andrea?
Ed Farmer joins us now.
A lot of years.
The legend. Good morning, legend.
Good morning. Not a legend in anybody's mind. But probably my own, I think. But yeah.
All right, so.
Nice night last night.
Yeah, the team's playing better. I want to talk to you about that. And also, John DeCoss is here, and I know how well you knew John's dad.
Yes.
I wanted to have you guys have a chance to talk. But before we do any of that, anything you want to say about Chet Kopech?
You know, when I came to the White Sox, Chet Kopech was one of the sports guys in Chicago. And I have to say something about Chet Kopech. He was an honest guy, but he made everybody feel good when he entered the room. It was, hi, how are you, and a smiling face. And always had an agenda and knew what he was doing. And when he would interview you, he had everything slotted right. That's a big thing for a player to get because the questions just came and you answered those in rhythm. He was sorry to hear about that accident. And I think it was in Hilton Head on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But he and Tom Lemon were getting ready to do a book. And Tom Lemon is one of my closest friends. And he goes around and sees high school and college football talent all over the United States and also outlying areas as well, like Hawaii and everything else, the states that are not on the continental United States, but goes and sees these kids. And he and Chet were doing a book, and they never got to the realization of putting it down and getting it. And I think we all take a hit with that one, because Kopic was that kind of guy.
One of a kind.
Interesting guy and a great guy to have with you, and a real, real great guy. In a form that was, let's say, a little abstract at most.
Yeah, well, that's very true and very fair. And I think Chicago, Dave Bennett, is blessed with more one-of-a-kind characters than any major city, more than New York, more than L.A., more than Dallas, anywhere else in the country, you know, from Cup to Chet and beyond in the next generation. We've had some real characters.
Yeah, I think you look over here. Yeah, I mean,
we've been graced in that city of Chicago. You know, they call it the city that works. It works for one another. What we know in Chicago is different than anywhere else. We care about one another in that city, and we want to only do the best thing for everybody else. If we can help you in some way, we're going to help you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a city that gives a heck about the next person, whether it's a guy or a girl, or it's whether it's somebody who needs our help or not. That's what it's all about. That's why it's a great place.
Speaking of good guys, John Costa is here. And, John, you lost your dad, who lived an incredible life, and passed last summer at 93
years old.
God love him.
And yeah. Ed, I know how much you thought of him.
Yeah, just a great guy. I mean, you run into these people, and you don't take it ever for granted. I never took that for granted. But they were always there for you. They were always there, and they would show up, and they'd say, so what's going on? They make you feel comfortable in their surroundings. And just a giving person. These are great things. I mean, living 94 years of age, I never envisioned that, I have to tell you that, and be honest with you. My mother was gone at 37. My dad was gone at 42.
Wow.
I started putting everything in my wife and daughter's name 35 years ago. I have no credit history right now, because I didn't think I was going to live past 40.
John DeCasse, even as his kid, I think you recognized how good he made of his life.
Gene was the guy who gave me my first baseball glove. Are you kidding me?
How about that?
Absolutely. Gave me the A2000 with the holster finger plates on the outside the glove. You know, Gino forever.
I talked to his wife, Elizabeth. I see her about every week. But we talked last week. I thought I was going to get to see you at the opening of the Sox
game. Yeah, we got rain on.
But the story that she loves to tell is when my dad would come visit the park, you'd be in the booth, and then you would sign off by saying, hey, Elizabeth, Gene's on his way home.
Gene's on his way
Elizabeth, he's on his way home. He'll be there in a little while. Gino, I'll see you down the road. And that's how we sort of said goodbye. It's just him and Scott Paulson, and Eagle Cal.
Scott's great.
They were all on the Wilson band, getting the gloves out to everybody. And one time Wilson had bats as well, but and the baseball shoes. Gene was foremost. He gave me my first baseball glove. I mean, I didn't know. I said, how do I get a baseball contract? And Gene said to me, sign right here. And he gave me two baseball gloves. I go, what do I owe you for these? He goes, you don't have to pay us.
Yeah, we make more.
We're going to pay you. I said, oh, okay, I like that even better.
Yeah, the system works. And I remember that glove, Dave. You remember that glove with the finger?
Oh,
the index finger would come
up? Little holster. Nobody had that. Yeah. Had a little tie on both sides of that. You know, it's snug tied, so you wouldn't give away a pitch, because it's flipping your finger up in the air
very
on
cool.
the baseball glove.
Well, he always spoke very highly of you, Ed. He only had good words to say about you, so you're very kind. You're very kind.
Well, Gino, I call him Gino all the time, because he was he had a way with him, as we know that we're around him. Yeah, I don't know if I would do that. I think maybe this glove is going to be the best thing for you. Why don't you do this, and why don't you do that? There was never a hurry. There was never pressure. This is why I think you should have it, but you decide. And that's what made the relationship so good with me and him and everybody at Wilson. He made me feel like I was part of the company.
Pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Ed, were you surprised at all by the widespread reaction to the events that transpired at Guaranteed Rate Field on Wednesday between the White Sox and Royals?
Absolutely. Well, I'm not overwhelmed with it anymore, because I've been through it, Steve. The thing with me, if somebody flipped the bat on me, I was going to drill them. And that was plain and simple. You want to do that to me? The times have changed, thank goodness. But I wasn't going to hit him in the head. I was going to hit them as the Keller did the other day. He hit him right in the butt. I mean, he doesn't have a form there, as far as I'm concerned. Tim Anderson, I love the guy. I think he's a great athlete. but you flipped the bat. It was over towards our dugout. You still flipped the bat. And they, although all you had to do was go to first. Now, with Renteria, a different story. Richie said, get my guys over here. And he and Swain, said, don't talk to my players. Well, Richie and I are friends long before he became the manager of the White Sox. And I know him. And I was waiting for him to stick up. And boy, did he stick up for his team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was old school. I kind of liked it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I saw Kirk Gibson yesterday. And Gibson and I had words at one time. And he goes, I remember my first day in the big leagues. You, Al Collins. And he goes, I saw you out there on the mound. And he goes, I knew that you were not all together. I said, I saw you play, and I knew you weren't all together either, but we were prepared. And he started laughing. He goes, yes, we did. But that's the way he Gibby is.
That's very
and,
funny.
And he struggles with his health a little bit, but we're going to help him out, too. He's a great guy, too.
How concerned are you about the health of Lucas Giolito?
That's a hamstring. You just don't want that to become a nagging injury. I think he's got great stuff. He was dealing, 4-0 against the Royals and setting them down in order. He had his curveball working the other day, and I thought he was going to beat him again and go 5-0 in his career against him. He's got that kind of stuff. I saw him as a high school senior. He was my number one pick back in 2012 when I was still scouting and looking at high school and college talent. But he was my number one pick, and he hasn't disappointed me.
It's Ed Farmer. White Sox definitely have been playing better. We'd love to see that keep going, Ed. So do that magic and that voodoo that you do, and let's keep it up.
You know, when you do really 14 winners like we did yesterday, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. All I want to do is play White Sox baseball and win. Are we going to win the pennant? I certainly hope we do. If we don't, I want to win 75 games. That's what I think is the barometer to say we're coming along. And Moncada shows signs of going along. The pitching staff went all the Lopez pitched great the other day. The bullpen is set up with Colum A finishing, and certainly the guys in front of them setting them up. There are good things to look at. You should come to the ballpark, enjoy yourself at our ballpark, and see and grow with this team. I mean, Eloy Jimenez is 23 years old.
Right.
The guy's a star right now.
Yeah, it's an exciting team, and it's getting a little better every day. Yeah. All right. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. That's Ed Farmer.
You're a lion eye, Victor Andrew High, and just as hot as habanero burning in my eye. You're from Moreland Park, and I have to say, they should name a special day for you called Darla's Day. And you host that show with that guy named Lou, and the secret known by us and House Smart's camera crew. There's no need to lie, cause you know it's true. With Dr. Manfredini has no clue. Behind these station walls and through these station halls, it's you, it's true. The best know duh. You make us smile, you make us laugh. You're Andrea.
God, every time I hear that, I just get verklempt.
I mean, John DeCosta is so good at triple
plays. He's insane.
Was a good one. I like that.
He's insane. He's just the best.
Does she get to bring her song with her?
Yes. No.
Wow.
Please.
No.
Please. Here, I'll give you an Illini luggage tag.
I think you know my payment schedule.
You know, my favorite line of that is, in your Beetlebug, top down free. That's
a
second line.
Yeah.
In your Beetlebug.
Yeah.
Driving top down free.
You got to get an orange one now.
I know. I'm going to get an orange car.
Yeah.
License plates.
In honor of you, we only got a couple minutes here, but in honor of you, we're going to do one last match game.
Oh, yes.
This is a game that notoriously you were really bad at.
I know.
And this is one last chance for you to nail it.
I'm excited.
So
yes.
True.
All right, so John, you're going to give us the puzzle.
Okay.
We got to fill in the blank. It's like match game, oddly enough. Whenever you're ready.
Here we go. Andrea said she told Steve she was leaving WGN, so today she stopped by to tell Steve blank.
Oh, boy.
I'll repeat that again. Andrea said, told Steve she was leaving WGN, so she stopped by to tell Steve blank. Now, to be fair, you will still be here. You still have your show on
Friday. Yeah, still have my show on Mondays, the reporter show.
So.
These are very nice pens, by the way.
Yes. They're better than the...
The Illini pens are beautiful.
Yeah.
Luggage tag, flashlights, they're all here. They're all here. I have to leave to get swag.
All right, everybody ready?
All right.
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Do we have a listener?
Yes, it's me. My answer is tell Steve to go take a flying leap. All right, let's see if anybody says to go take a flying leap. Dave?
Have a nice life. That's close.
Have a nice life. Mary Vandeveld?
That she got Madigan for an interview.
Oh, that's a good one. There's still time.
Wow. Foiled again.
She went, na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah. John DeCoss?
Chocolate pudding.
Huh?
That's what she would say.
No.
That's right. You're
she
the host.
She was bad at it.
With yeah, you were. I was good in a bad way, though.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, bad in a good way.
My answer was you stopped by to tell me you're fired.
I would never do that. Were you on your way to the bathroom?
Yeah, I was.
Actually, I got to go see Larry Ward after this, too. So,
do you have an answer to this one?
My answer is going to be a cheesy, cheesy answer.
Let me hear it.
It's just. I love you from the bottom of my heart.
There you go.
You guys, I just want to take this second to say how much I love you guys. I've spent half my life here. You are my family, and without getting emotional, I love you. I'll still see you, and thank you for everything.
That's the longest blank.
The ride of a lifetime. I told you I was bad at the game.
Why not get emotional? Would it kill you to cry a little? Come on.
Yeah.
It's Angela.
I will.
Love you back. You know.
I love you guys. You're the best.
All right, and you're not going anywhere. You're still going to be around at least one day a week.
Come on, Angela.
Until you collapse from working 7 days a week.
That is so good.
I love you guys.
9:57. Bill and Wendy join us in a moment, and Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Bill and Wendy are here. I am hosting the Blackhawks trip to Prague.
Right.
Congratulations. How fun is that?
In October. Do I need, what are those short pants called they wear in Germany for Oktoberfest?
Lederhosen?
Yeah, do I need Lederhosen in Prague?
You don't need them, but you should always have a pair with if you're traveling.
There's a restaurant in Prague that's known for its bone marrow soup. I think you should try that while you're there.
And wear Lederhosen, too?
And wear Lederhosen.
And sensible shoes.
I was looking at some stuff. Prague is, I mean, there's some very
far.
Cool. It's far. That's what I was going to say. Prague is far.
You taking Cicero to get there? How are you getting there?
Ogden
all the way
Prague.
66 yeah, goes all the way there.
Take you a long time.
What I was going to say is Prague has some amazing historical stuff. Anyway, we're going to tour.
Yeah.
We're going to see the Blackhawks game. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to hosting the trip with listeners. And you can get it before it's gone because it's selling quite rapidly. Thank you for that. Just email Steve at Steve Bertrand Travel. Is that the best way to go,
Steve?
Yeah, Steve at SteveBertrandTravel.com or call me or whatever. Okay. It's on the website. So.
Okay.
Or stop by his house.
Yeah, or come by his house. Or just meet me at O'Hare when we leave.
Oh, that'd be easy.
You stop by my house, I'll tell you how to get to Ennett's.
Well, that's a helpful kind of guy you are. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
And did you get a chance to hear earlier when I read the entire Mueller report to music?
Yes, it was great.
Touching.
Very gripping.
Very touching.
Yeah,
gripping.
People say it was the feel-good hit of the spring.
Somebody said that out loud?
Mm-hmm.
Who said that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, nobody actually quite yet, but I'm pretty
somebody's
sure that's how
say
they
it.
Felt.
Steve, yeah. I think it was countless people.
Countless people.
Oh.
Thank you, Sarah Huckabee. You got a plan for today?
Bobby Slayton.
Bobby is like a regular on your show.
We have on Bobby quite often, yes.
And you know the weird thing is he
doesn't
have...
Yoda.
Bobby coming by quite often.
We have on Bobby quite often.
Yes.
He's just coming by. He doesn't have a show to promote, right?
Right.
Oh, I love you guys.
He flew in just to do our show.
Wow, he's a rich dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very wealthy.
Big Easter weekend coming up. What are you doing? Plans?
Going to the in-laws looking for Easter eggs and having ham. Isn't everybody else doing that?
Well, not your in-laws. I mean, we have to go to our own.
Come by.
My sister Leslie has invited us over, and every WGN listener, if you know where she is.
We'll give out the address later.
What about you, Bill? What are you doing?
I wasn't aware it was Easter till you just mentioned it.
Oh.
Just finding that out now.
You know, it'd be fun if we took all of the invaluable collectible figures and toys that you have.
Yes.
And took them outside and let kids play with them.
That would not be fun.
You could hide them.
What's the opposite?
Let's hide them from you.
It's the opposite of fun.
Happy Easter, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you Monday.